The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
It's the Catalina freaking wine mixer.
Okay. Bah! Are you saying pow? What are you saying?
Bah! It's the biggest helicopter leasing event in the Western Hemisphere since 1997.
Bah! This is PFW in progress.
Why does he keep doing that?
I have to sell or lease at least 80 choppers to make my nut, and you mess with my nut.
I'll tell you right now, I'll nail it.
This is a freaking Catalina wine mixer.
Bah! Bah! PFW in progress.
Where did he go to medical school?
He went to Northwestern and Johns Hopkins. Is that good enough for you?
No, it's not.
Well, those are very prestigious schools.
I smoked pot with Johnny Hopkins.
With Fred Kirsch.
Hey, listen to me, you crazy old man. You keep your liver spotted hands off my beautiful mother. She's a saint.
Paul Perillo.
This is the one rule of the house. Don't ever, ever, ever touch my drum set. You understand?
Don't go in there.
Don't touch it!
All right.
There. I was at about 6 there. You don't want to see me go to 10.
And Andy.
Suppose Nancy sees me coming out of the shower. I'm looking good. Got a luscious V of hair going from my chest pubes down to my ball throat. And she takes one look at me and she goes, oh my God. I've had the old bull. Now I want the young calf. And she grabs me by the wiener.
Shut the heck up!
Andy Hart.
Look, I'm going to be honest with you. I really need a job. And I will take any position, as long as it doesn't involve having sex with old ladies for money.
It's an elf convention here in Indy.
Eric Scalavino.
Long time no see. Is that your boyfriend? Is that your butt buddy? Does butt buddy have a name?
If you're referring to me as butt buddy, yes, I do have a name.
For now, anyway.
Let's play a game.
Favorite non-pornographic magazine to masturbate to?
Good Housekeeping.
If you were a chick, who's the one guy you would sleep with?
John Stamos. What?
Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
PFW in progress.
Okay, here's the shot out of the cannon. Oprah, Barbara Walters, your wife. You gotta found one, marry one, kill one. Go.
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
I'm gonna put my nut sack on your drum set, okay?
If you touch my drums, I will stab you in the neck with a knife. I swear to God.
All right, we just watched the movie Brothers, or whatever that was called.
No. Step Brothers.
I'm only kidding. All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. What a show this is going to be.
Because we're going to pretend it's Tuesday and everything we talk about is newsworthy.
We have literally just sheets of things that we need to talk to. Even though I don't write it down, we have sheets of things that we need to talk about.
If I did.
It's all up here.
Starting right? with the Patriots. Securing the first overall seed with their 49-21 win over the Bills on Sunday. All the events that happen on Black Monday and continue to happen in the NFL, some of which affect the Patriots, some not so much, but are still really cool to talk about. We got an issue with fan noise that we need to talk about. I guess this has come up again.
Yep.
So we're going to talk about that in Gillette Stadium. We're not going to talk about it in Gillette Stadium. We're going to talk about it because it's about Gillette Stadium.
You know. But we're also
in Gillette
Stadium, the bowels.
In the bowels of Gillette Stadium. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-298-0398. Sorry we weren't on the air yesterday. Patriots Monday was in the studio, and, you know, what can you do? It's a contractually obligated
can't come out
day. So, you know, we wanted to be. I know you guys were, like, mad at me.
We should be on. We should.
I thought we should have done something.
What?
Something.
Build a new studio?
It's like the Jets fans that want Peyton Manning. No, just get him here. We got to get him here.
So, but we're here now. So let's pretend it's Tuesday. And the Patriots just beat the Bills 49-21.
Whew, what a great three quarters.
Let's
skip past the first.
That's your reaction. We talked about it when we taped our PFW show. And I think, Andy, you made a point about the running game, about how – they tried to establish the running game early. It became a three and out, and, you know, things kind of snowballed from there until Patriots could right the ship in the second quarter.
And it's hard because those of us that want them to have a running game, want them to establish it, want them to try to establish it, and yet then we're also going to criticize them when they go three and out and they're down 21-0.
Right.
So it's literally a catch-22, rock and hard place, whatever you want to call it. And they actually ran the ball pretty well. Ridley had a nice day, 81 yards, but that slow start, 2 weeks in a row now, you had three score deficits. It was 17 against Miami, 21 against the Bills. And I blame the offense, personally. The defense is what it is. But the offense, that's five combined three and outs in the first quarter. That's problematic.
And, you know, I think other fans are more patient with their team trying to establish a run game because they know the defense will keep it relatively close.
And the, right. But they also, most teams don't have the offense that
right.
we have.
Right.
You know, it's one thing to establish the run if, you know, even if it's Joe Flacco or a middling, inconsistent quarterback. But when you have Breeze, Rodgers, and Brady, and you know they roll out of bed and throw for 300 yards and three touchdowns, it's hard to say, okay, yeah, let's give Stephen Ridley right. a couple more so we can have a couple more three and outs. It's
right. And then you compound it by falling behind 21-0.
Do you consider it progress that they started up the engines after one quarter instead of two?
Yeah, yes. Like Brady said, it was 30 good minutes last week, 45 right. this week. We're trending in the right direction.
Well, the other thing.
But they went down by more points this week
right.
than they did the week before.
But Andy, you kind of, you might have, let's say, I don't know, given hope or put a new perspective on this defense.
I do that
yesterday
a lot.
With a tweet that you sent out.
Yes, first reported by Patriots Football Weekly. You may have heard it with other sources today, but they heard it here from Patriots Football Weekly. Patriots only 14 points allowed away from being a top 10 defense. So had they, I put it, had they not crapped the bed against the Colts in the fourth quarter, they would have been a top 10 scoring defense.
Now, can I make a suggestion for the future?
Don't say crapped the
no,
bed.
No, no, no. Oh. When you have a stat like that, which
yes.
which I think is unique, insightful, and exclusive.
Blog it?
Yes.
I was going to.
Yes.
I was actually going to blog it today, and that was just kind of a sampler.
Right. Because not only would you be driving traffic to the blog, but if other people are ethical,
you have a timestamp?
They would have to cite your blog.
Other people aren't ethical. So
well, no,
let's
but at least now.
They wouldn't.
You wouldn't get a sighting.
No, you might not. But
you'd have driven traffic to the
blog.
At
least you would have the right to call them unethical.
Well, I'm going to do that on the blog later.
When something's on social media, it's kind of out there, and people do whatever they want with it.
See, no, that's not true.
But
it is true. No, it isn't. No, if Adam Schefter reports Bill O'Brien if he tweets out Bill O'Brien is going to be the head coach at Penn State, no one's just going to write Bill. They're going to write Adam Schefter is saying.
But I also can tell you that.
So people pick and choose when they're going to have professional courtesy.
I know for a fact that at ESPN, it's a strict rule that they're not allowed to break news on social. They have to do it on the site first.
Right, and that's fine.
Yeah,
but that's
fine for breaking news.
But even if people don't know that, like if they don't know he put it on the site and they just see it on Twitter, they're going to cite Twitter.
Okay.
You don't think I'm right?
It's like I'm talking to my 16-year-old son. Can you just agree that when you have something cool like that, you put it on the blog?
Yeah.
But
I was in transit.
Okay.
I was on the way to do TV to
Thank
rip
you.
The fans.
But no one was going to – that was – you know, no one would have gotten that. You could have waited.
Yeah, I could.
Put that on the blog and then tweeted it and linked to the blog, you know.
Twoted it.
Twoted it.
Some other things.
But anyway, I
– That's what it should be. If you quote a tweet, it should be a twote. Run with it, people. Run with it.
Careful how you pronounce it.
Yeah, yeah. You can't say the other thing. Don't put an A in there. We've gone down that road.
And if you tweet a quote, it's a twot. No.
Speaking of English pronunciation, did you get the tweet?
I did.
Are you going to read the poem?
No.
You're not even going to make an effort?
No.
Because you don't want to make a fool of yourself?
I've already read it.
You haven't read it on the air?
Yeah.
In front of us?
It's a poem about pronunciation in English.
And you don't think it would be funny to hear you try to read that?
I've read it. It's very easy for someone who reads English.
So why don't you give some? Why don't you
can read it? He can't,
he can't say it right
because it's about 15 minutes long.
Not if you can read it quickly.
Okay, you do it.
You want me to?
Sure. Go ahead.
All right, I'll do it after practice. I gotta go to practice.
And he was just waiting for me to ask him to do that.
Probably.
Yeah.
No,
you
I
know
wasn't.
You were.
He
no,
did
know
light up
were.
Like
no,
a light bulb when you asked him.
No.
Oh, really? Me? Oh, I love.
No, because I will get through it. I will get through it. It'll be funnier to hear Fred try to stumble through it.
Oh. What am I, some knuckle-dragging idiot that is below your intelligence level?
You struck a nerve.
You work for me, pal. If you were so smart, how come you're not the boss?
It's a good question.
That's a point of fact that has really, really bothered Squidward for quite some time.
Damn near 25 years now.
But just so people know what Eric's talking about, somebody sent us a poem about how... you know, it can be...
it's difficult to learn the English
language. Yeah, certain words can
words
look the same, but be pronounced completely different in the English language. And
can we forward this to Tim in Pensacola, whose poetry is kind of suspect and doesn't know what rhyming is?
It's a long poem, and that's why, you know, I didn't
think this one rhymes, though, and it has proper meter, and it's funny.
Actually, you can get clues on what one word should be pronounced by looking below it and see what the word is below.
I don't know if people watched the bowl game last night. I believe it was the
Sugar Bowl. Mm.
I was watching the bowl game called the Iowa Caucuses.
Oh, okay.
How about that for a squeaker?
Yeah.
In a blowout. Well, we just gave Tom Brady a hard time. We actually passed him in the tunnel and for that boring-ass Michigan game last night. But did you notice, don't we have an emailer, Toussaint?
Yeah, Toussaint.
There's a wide receiver on Michigan.
Toussaint, I saw
I kept
that.
Thinking
oh, really?
Of him every yeah. time last, he caught the ball.
Last
I
was name or first name?
Last name. Oh. That's his name. And I kept thinking of our emailer. And don't you people...
I thought the same thing. And ever corrects Fred every time he reads it.
Yeah. That's all I could think about when they threw in his
direction. We pretend it's the first time every
right.
time.
So that was a little side note to the big bowl game last night.
All right, I've got to go to practice. I'll be back in a
minute.
All right. Tweet like a champion. Make other people twote you,
but
too.
But going back to your twote yesterday, as far as...
No, mine was a tweet.
The defense.
He should have twoted me.
Say that again, though. I just want because
if you had allowed, you are 14 points allowed away. Had you allowed 14 less points during the course of 16 games,
the Patriots,
you'd be a top 10 defense scoring wise. That's interesting. That's the difference between 15 and being a top 10. Which 15, Paul and I like to say, is
middle of the pack.
If they're top 10, you have to say they're top 10. No, I know, but you would then declare it. They're a top 10 scoring defense because that would also be a point of fact. But right now they're a middle of the pack defense.
Right.
But that's only
14 points.
That's not putting Sterling Moore in to crap the bed against Dan Orlovsky in the fourth quarter against Colts. That's what that is. That's the difference right there.
Right. So what's your conclusion?
Oh, I still think the defense stinks. All these numbers. Okay. I just watch the games. That's all I do is watch the games, and the defense is terrible.
Yeah. Brady was on the radio Monday. On his contractually obligated interview with EEI in the morning.
And why was he on Monday if we couldn't do a show Tuesday?
Tuesday morning, I'm sorry. And he said, you know, they asked him about the defense. And he said that, you know, trying to defend them, that they are a situational defense. That there are times when they need to make a stop that they do come up with plays. You know, and so that's how he described them, that they're a situational defense. Much like, and he compared them, the offense in 03 and 04, he said, look, in 03 and 04, we didn't score a lot of points. We really relied on the defense to keep us in games. But when it came down to situations, we were able to come through a lot of the time.
Do you buy it?
We were a situational offense.
You buy in what he's selling?
I do. At that time, don't you?
No. I'm talking about the defense.
Absolutely not.
The defense.
No, 2004, they had a wagon on offense.
You don't rush for 1,600 yards and
be very
situational.
Tom's being very modest there. He's trying to be a good teammate, and he's doing a good job of being a good teammate, and he's to be commended.
He should say that. Yeah, I have no problem with him saying that, but do you really believe it, that this defense is comparable to the offense in those years?
I would say in 2001.
Oh, no.
In 2001, maybe you could say that.
I don't think the offense ever lost them games or you know.
Right. In 2001, you could say they maybe were a situational offense. They didn't do a whole lot for a lot of the game, but when they had to have something, they did it.
Because what situation would you say?
Not
if I just
04.
Said, tell me the situation where the Patriots are good.
On defense.
Yeah, this year.
This year.
With any consistency. Because to be good, you know, to me, you have to do it more than once. You can't just luck out and, you know, I don't want to be negative.
You do.
But you know it's part of my character.
Yeah.
The last 2 weeks, a fumbled snap by the other team was huge. Literally huge. Vince Wilfork recovers for a turnover against Miami, and Chan Gailey pointed out the fumbled snap this week that led to a long down and distance that they couldn't dig themselves out of. They had a penalty. And these teams are that bad, these opponents they've had, that one thing like that spirals them out of control. They can't dig out of it like the Patriots can. Patriots make mistakes, dig holes. They can dig out of it. These other teams, they fall apart.
Yeah, if you had a bad snap over Brady's head on second down to make it, you know, third and 18 or third and 19 or whatever, or even second on first down, you know, second, and there's a chance that Brady's going to overcome that. But Matt Moore's not, and Ryan Fitzpatrick is not.
Right.
Now, in the playoffs, you're going to play against teams that may or may not be able to do that too. But that was a big play in that game, that play. I mean, they had a chance to make it, I think, 28-14 and sort of stem the tide a little bit there at the end of the first half. It could have been an interesting game, but... You know, ifs and nuts, as Bill said last week, you know, every day be Christmas.
But I just, I have trouble giving the defense credit for that.
Well, that's kind of where I fall in the 14 points thing. You know, if they allowed 14 fewer, well, if they allowed 14 more, would they have been, you know, 28th in scoring?
I don't know, I have to check that number.
I don't like the whole, I mean, I think there are definitely outliers in stats. We all know that stats can be twisted and turned positively and negatively. I don't really fall much on strict stats. I kind of watch and I see, and that's a dangerous game to to play as well, because sometimes you think you see something and you don't necessarily see it. So, I mean, that's there's no, you know, hard and fast way to do everything. But I do think that you can make stats sort of say what you want them to do.
You know, before we move on to, of course, everyone's waiting with bated breath for us to touch on the Colts and the Jets situation.
Us or you? They're waiting for you. Well,
okay,
to touch
fine.
On.
I'm waiting for you. I won't speak for our listeners. I can't wait for you to talk about Bill Polian.
And for
personally.
Good reason. But you mentioned Stephen Ridley. It was nice to see what he did. What did you guys think about the return of Brandon Spikes and Patrick Chung?
I thought, A, it was good that they returned.
Fantastic.
Regardless of whatever they did afterwards. I thought Chung looked good running around, physical. You know, as Paul says, it kind of got lost because of the fake punt, but he had a big hit that could have been a tone setter early. Had it not been for the fake punt that followed it up. If they punt there and the Patriots score, you're pointing to that and saying, that's nice. That's an impact play.
That maybe we wouldn't have had without his
right.
presence
Well,
out
you
there.
Certainly probably you wouldn't know. Have had it. Spikes, I didn't see doing as much, but he was out there. I wanted him
Don't
out
care.
There
yeah.
to just
I
see
love the fact
reps.
That they were out there.
Yeah, now we didn't play a lot in the second half, maybe because, you know, the Bills were passing so much. But do you also think it might be that they're just kind of monitoring him
Could
with
be.
The knee, and I hope it didn't flare up.
Yeah, you brought that yeah. up on our TV show when we were yeah. filming yesterday. I think that's a rational theory, is maybe they wanted to lower his, you know, I didn't want to bring him back for 60, 70, 80 snaps, you know,
right.
kind of work him back in slow. He's missed 7 weeks. Yeah, but I just think the fact, I'm with Andy, the fact that the two of those guys were out there, and now at least they got a chance to you know, knock some of the rust off and get ready for the playoffs. That's a great sign. The more, you know, regulars that you can have out there. I know the Patriots have used something like 40 different defensive players this year or something in that neighborhood, something obscene.
Right.
I think the average is more like 25, and they've used 40. Well, these are some of the regulars that you get back into the mix. I think that's a big plus, I think, going in. Now, I'm not ignoring the fact that when those guys were all playing in the first 8 games of the year, it wasn't great either, but certainly, you'd like to think you're better off with Patrick Chung than you would be with, you know, Matthew Slater or right. whoever else is filling in, Sergio Brown.
Right. All right.
Just to clarify yeah. Paul's question, 14-point swing the other way would put you at between 18 and 19.
So roughly the same. You go up 5,
yeah.
down 4.
Yeah, 3 or 4. I had trouble figuring it out.
So Patriots win the game. They're now 13-3. They have the first overall bye. The weekend is all set this week. Pittsburgh will go to Denver, and Cincinnati will go to Houston. The Patriots will play the lowest remaining seed. My thought is, and you know, we'll do the picks later, but I think that somehow Houston's going to figure out a way to beat Cincinnati, and I think Pittsburgh's going to beat Denver, which, you know, amazingly makes Pittsburgh the lowest seed. And they'll be coming here.
Right.
The weekend.
That's what
after.
I like to refer to as the worst case scenario.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
otherwise known as the worst case scenario.
Because I like to refer to the best case scenario as Denver beats Pittsburgh
right.
and Houston beats Cincinnati, and Tim Tebow struggles his way in here, and you beat the bleeping crap out. I like
right.
to say knock him out of his jockeys.
Yeah. I just can't see Pittsburgh's defense allowing more than 10 points, and I can't see Pittsburgh not scoring
right.
you know, more than that, with or without Roethlisberger.
To me, that
at
would
full health.
Probably be the biggest upset that you could have this postseason.
Yeah.
Is if, well, other than Denver going on a run to the Super Bowl, but that individual game.
Any game that Denver wins would be the biggest upset of the
and
postseason.
And over Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I mean, if they played Cincinnati, Houston,
right.
it wouldn't be as big to me. But
well,
Pittsburgh
just think about it. More than likely,
great.
If they
right.
if
they score 3 points against normal teams, Pittsburgh doesn't give up points.
But if they beat Pittsburgh, then they would have to go on the road and beat either the Patriots or Baltimore.
Right.
Oh, so
there's
that
no
would
question
be,
the
that
biggest
would be a bigger upset
of all time
too.
Would be the Super Bowl.
Now, the
and
other...
then if they were to do that, they'd have to beat the other one on the road.
Right.
So they have to beat Pittsburgh, Baltimore, and New England, more than likely in some order. With the last two being on the road, and then beat either probably Green Bay, New Orleans, maybe even San Francisco. Who knows?
After losing but, to
now the other
Buffalo,
every game,
Kansas City.
I think that's the worst playoff team this year by far. I don't think it's arguable this
27th
year.
27th ranked in the Wilson-Hart Power Index, newly released on Patriots.com.
I think they're a worse playoff team than Seattle was last year, and I thought Seattle was the worst playoff team I've ever seen last year at 7-9.
Now, the other scenario, of course, is if Cincinnati can beat Houston in Houston, and you know, for some reason, I don't see that happening. One, because I think Houston's defense is good enough, and two, because of despite Houston's quarterback situation, I see them winning. Plus, Cincinnati, I can't see them winning a playoff game for some reason. I don't know why, but a lot of people disagree with me.
They really think
Cincy's going to go in there.
Well,
and
I think it's a complete and total toss-up game.
Yeah,
I think it could go either way.
I think Cincy's going to win, Fred.
Yeah,
I just have trouble picking Yates, especially with him being banged up.
I just look at the way the season's gone for the Patriots. It seems like these kinds
Cincinnati
of things have worked out for
Gillette.
Them.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah, and so, I think if you look at it, these kinds of things have been happening. There's one of those like kind of karma seasons for the Patriots.
Right.
You know, I think. No, I'm saying it has nothing to do with a lot of the stuff that they've done, but. You know, 16 games they've played, 3 playoff teams.
Favorable conditions.
I mean, I think that's fairly amazing. Two
as
teams
I
with a winning
Ridley's
record.
Fumble.
Right.
Houston might not be
better off with Dell Ome.
Do you have a practice update?
Yes.
He's just back already?
Yes. It's been changed. One of 75 times it was changed yesterday, and I forgot to print out the latest one that came at 10:45 at night.
Now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was wondering why you were leaving so
you
early.
Went out there by yourself?
I went down to the workroom.
Anyone practice?
Nobody there. And then Aaron happened to come down to go get something at the vending machine. And
I said, where
is everybody? And he said,
you know what? We moved that.
So, 1:15. Sorry.
Okay.
So we'll have to deal with Eric for a little while.
Right.
Unfortunately. Is that why you apologized?
No.
Oh. So you can read your poem?
No.
Eric.
Well, if you want, sure. But
I don't, but Fred seems hell-bent on hearing you stumble.
Since you're here. Any thoughts on the Bills game, before we get into all the NFL news?
It's just they are who we thought they were. They have a terrible defense, which could end up being the death of them. And if the offense doesn't get out of its first quarter, first half doldrums, they're not going to be able to overcome that against
the Bills. And I know everybody says, well, you know, after the first quarter, they basically shut down. Well, they did shut down the Bills, but even though I want to believe that they took out Stevie Johnson,
yes,
and the tight end, got hurt or for some reason didn't play Chandler. So that those are two big keys to their offense.
And the Bills aren't exactly a juggernaut.
They're not loaded. Fred Jackson's on IR. You take out Stevie Johnson, their big play threat, and their tight end.
And what's left?
It's troublesome that after 17 weeks, the players are still talking about, we need to come out with more energy in the beginning. That problem should have been solved 2 months ago. The fact that it's still a problem now
is
troublesome. And
the fact that Bill continues to say, if we had the answer, we would have fixed it by now. Well, Bill, you said that to me like a month and a half ago, and you're still saying it in the season finale.
Now, having said all that, the conditions, as we were just saying, could still be favorable for them to get to Indianapolis. Because if Cincinnati wins, as I think they're going to, that's much preferable than playing
Pittsburgh.
Right. Because if Houston wins, you have to root hard for Denver to beat Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
because you have a much better chance of beating Denver.
I just can't see that happening.
Well,
if Kansas City only gave up 3 points, then, you know, what... Pittsburgh could shut them out.
There's no chance. We shouldn't spend any time analyzing that game. No chance.
Right.
The issue I would say is everybody says, Cincinnati comes here, and then you just have to beat Baltimore, in the next round, whoever.
Adjust? They're a tough team.
But I'll even rewind that. I'm not sure if you've seen. I know they have a rookie quarterback, but they have A.J. Green, who's one of the dynamic playmakers in the game as a rookie.
Cincinnati.
Gresham, a tight end, who can kill you. I'm sorry, with this pass defense, I don't say that the Bengals are a layup on any level.
The only layup to me is Denver.
Right.
Denver cannot beat you
unless they don't have a quarterback.
Unless you completely roll over and turn the ball over five, six times.
I'd be careful what you wish for, because you think people were upset losing the last couple of years. You could lose to the Bengals at home.
And you don't think
the Bengals can win a single playoff game. What if they come in here and beat you?
Oh, well, that would be...
They have talent. Their defense is pretty good, you know.
I would not be emotionally prepared for that.
Right. So that's what I'm saying.
Do you think Houston's going to win?
Yes, I do.
I do
with
too.
The Yates?
His main analysis is Bengals can't win a postseason game.
Well, I just think they played three weeks ago.
I also think Houston's defense is legit.
It is.
And I think they played 3 weeks ago in Cincinnati with the playoffs on the line for both, and Houston won down 9 with about 5 minutes to go with their third-string quarterback, and they won. So if not then, when for Cincinnati?
This week.
I think Houston's better. I do think it's a toss-up.
Houston's clearly better than the fourth-ranked team. I mean, third-ranked team in the Western Power Index.
Can we actually have a discussion about teams without, bringing up...
I'm sorry.
What do you call it, Fred?
You don't like stats.
The Wilson Thrower Dart Index?
Yes.
While you were scratching your back like an ape.
What? humans can't scratch their back.
The way you do it is ape-like.
There's because apes can't scratch their backs, too.
The way I do it is ape-like.
You sometimes walk into Paul's office and go up to his bookshelf and start rubbing yourself
rubbing himself on my bookshelf.
Like a bear or something
in
the
woods. He's just marking his territory, right. That's all.
With your odor.
I've done that, too, when you guys aren't around. All right. So then.
I heard a Patriots story this morning. Is it true that in the last, you know, the old stories of Monday Night Football and the last one that got them kicked off for a while? A paramedic was working on a guy that was having a heart attack, and a guy came up and peed on him?
He peed next to him.
Oh, next to. I heard on.
Yeah, no.
Callahan was
talking. I don't think someone. It was on. I think it was, like, right there.
That's Nick Saban-like.
I was going to say, that's as bad as stepping on or over somebody.
That's Nick Saban-like.
They literally had people handcuffed to chain-link fence.
No, I knew that, but to me it's even worse. Yeah. Somebody's dying, and you urinate on or near them. I mean...
All right, so the Patriots
must have been a Jets fan.
The Patriots win the game, and all the playoff is settled, and then Black Monday comes. And we get all this tweeting coming out of New York about this implosion in the Jets locker room. Bart Scott giving the finger.
Yep.
Even Revis wouldn't talk to the press.
Oh, I thought he did.
Maybe the second day. I don't think that they said even Revis, who
he didn't. The first day. I don't know if he's talked since.
I think he has talked since.
Since they did say even the guy who works with the media didn't.
Right.
He was led through, I believe, with a PR guy.
Of course, Santonio Holmes is all, you know, he's got a screw loose, and even his own teammates. But the thing that made me laugh was LaDainian Tomlinson calling out Santonio Holmes for not being a good teammate. That was it. I knew that, you know, now the inmates are running the asylum. Yeah, that was great.
But this is a major issue because financially they're kind of stuck with Holmes. But there are players, and I don't know if it was on the record or off, that have said I don't see how he can play for us ever again, based on what transpired this year. But they're stuck with him financially. So
even Bart Scott said all I know is that I'm guaranteed $4 million next year. I mean, this is the kind of things that people
can't
are
wait.
Saying out the door, you know, and. As much as we might think that Rex is entertaining, this is because of him.
Oh, God, yeah.
This is all this culture.
I don't know. He's blaming the captaincy, the fact that they had captains.
Right.
Not the guy who picks the idiot captains.
His culture works when you're winning, but this is what happens when
you
don't.
Every culture works when you're winning.
Well, that's true. That's true.
You can do handstands
he's
across the locker
room. He's
blaming
the fact that he assigned an authority figure among the players.
He said he's never going to have captains again.
Right.
Oh, that's absurd.
Because he labeled turds captains.
Right.
And I give the Pittsburgh Steelers credit. We thought they traded him because he had drug issues and he was a clearly he's a douche.
Right.
And clearly that was part of it.
But that was a huge part of it.
Oh, I didn't know
at the time.
I never knew he was a douche. I thought he was just a guy that cuz the drug issues.
Well, that was they were afraid
I thought that
he
want to give a guy $50 million who had drug issues.
I think that was the overriding
I didn't
factor,
know he was a douche,
but
clearly he's a
widely
douche.
Considered questionable.
Oh, yes. I'd never heard that. I
not
thought he
just,
was a Super Bowl MVP.
I think they would have taken him back had he not had the drug issue.
See,
I think they would have given him the money.
I don't think so. I think Colbert didn't want him because he was a douche.
See, I do.
I'm with Colbert.
What do you think? There aren't James Harrison. They gave him $50 million.
Captains work when they're carrying out the message of the leader, whoever, you know, the coach. That's when captains become valuable. But then you get Tannenbaum who says, well, you know, I went through the locker room and talked with guys about what the problems were.
What's Tannenbaum, Fred?
What is he?
Yeah, what is he really?
I don't know.
No, well,
he's an accountant.
Yeah.
He's an accountant. I don't know what he's...
I put it on a team
for him.
And
he still didn't hit
it. He shouldn't even be in the locker room, okay? But he's asking players what the problem is or who are the players because you're going to have factions within the locker room. Depends on who you're asking. You now can't depend on your captains to give you an objective, you know, view of what the problems are because they're, you know, you didn't pick the right guys. It's a mess. I love it. I think it's great to hear and see. It couldn't happen to a better team.
I think I think the Jets situation is, you know, it's deemed to be complicated and has all these different things. I don't think any of this stuff would matter a lick if they had an answer at quarterback, and they don't.
If they had an answer at quarterback, they wouldn't be 8-8.
Right.
But Santonio Holmes wouldn't be as much of a douche if they had an answer at quarterback. Bart Scott wouldn't be as much of a douche if they had an answer at quarterback.
Right.
They wouldn't have to be, you know, wondering about what their quarterback is going to do all the time if you're on defense. And they wouldn't be put in so many bad spots. And Santonio Holmes would be getting the ball when he wants to get the ball. It all comes down to a very simple fact.
And look at the
difference. He's not that good.
On both the Patriots and the Jets, the both offensive coordinators are being rumored to be suited, you know, courted for other jobs. On the Patriots, it's like, look, you know, we're not talking about that. On the Jets, it's like, I think he'd make a great head coach. Well, they can't get rid of him fast enough.
Oh, my God, they're praying.
They don't want to pay him.
They're praying that he leaves.
Right?
He's also well paid.
They gave him a 2-year, like, $3.5 million contract, something like that.
Is that per year or over the course of 2 years?
No, no. Total. So
he's That's ridiculous.
Coordinators don't all make $1 million.
$1.7 million?
They don't hear.
No. Six figures.
Well, we don't have coordinators.
We have an offensive coordinator. I'll guarantee he doesn't make $1 million a year.
I'd be willing to guarantee he doesn't make $500K a year.
Yeah. Well, he was still under his other contract.
$1 million used to be you had like a really good coordinator, a head coach, assistant head coach type coordinator.
You had a special guy, he made $1 million.
He sucks. He's a bottom tier coordinator. And he's making
I'm with Andy.
That place is run amok.
Yeah.
And by the way, what's Rex Ryan making? If his coordinator is making that much.
I'll tell you one thing that I think Rex Ryan, he says stupid things, but he's always said stupid things. But one thing that I think he deserves a heavy amount of criticism for is his lack of involvement / knowledge or anything of the offense.
Right.
You know, you can't be a head coach and not know what's going on. All right, I understand. You're a defensive guy. You know, there's not a lot of guys like Bill that really do have the expertise in all areas. Okay? I get that. But how could you not know what's going on in your offense? How could you not know that there was a problem with Santonio Holmes on Sunday?
It's not X's and O's you don't know about. It's everything.
Yeah.
It's you literally
that's
don't know
it's
a guy was benched,
lack.
Why he was benched, he's bitching,
yeah, that's
what's
weird.
Going on.
But
that doesn't even fall under football. That just falls under a manager. You could be in any business,
but
anything.
But don't you think that
you
if it was a defensive player, he'd have known?
I don't know. Because it sounds like he's a terrible manager.
Probably would have known more.
I
really have no idea.
I think that he's one of those guys that, you know, and I had coaches like this growing up. Like, they take care of their own thing, and then they're like, they wash their hands of the rest of it. Hey, I did my job, you know.
That's nothing to do with coaching.
But I think that's how he thinks. It's like, defense is all I care about. And what,
then he shouldn't be the head coach.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He deserves criticism for that.
He should be
fired.
No, but you said it's football. I know he's a defensive guy. That's football irrelevant.
No, what I'm saying
is any job you're in, if you have people
aware
under you
of
and you don't know what's going on, then you're terrible for your position.
Right.
You're in the wrong position. You're managing people. And if you can't manage those people and know that half the people on this side of the room hate each other and this guy's not doing his job and this guy's got to do more,
right.
Whether you're stocking shelves at Stop and Shop or running an NFL team, you're in the wrong job.
Right. Right. So, like I said, the inmates are running the asylum down in, I don't even know, Florham Park? Is that where they are now?
New Jersey.
They're out of Hempstead. Yeah. So, that's great. I love
it.
Okay,
now move a little bit southwest.
So then, you know, I'm still basking in that.
Short plane flight to Indy.
And then I'm listening to the NFL on the Sirius and breaking news.
Adam Schein?
It was that during his show.
Big voice.
And
little man, big voice, like Andy Hart, Gary Tengway.
Jim Irsay fires both Bill and Chris Polian. And I was shocked.
Me too.
I did not think that their jobs were in danger.
Did you think you were dreaming?
No. I mean, I knew I was awake.
Was Gino there with a unit on his hip?
But, I mean, I was really shocked at that. But, you know, it just goes to tell you that there is definitely a disagreement on how they're going to move forward with that team and what they're going to do with that first round draft pick and Peyton Manning and how the team was structured. And then I get reports from, you know, some of the columnists out of Indy, you know, who follow the team every day that this isn't a new thing, that Bill Polian over the last few years has become more polarizing, more divisive, you know, always great at building teams, but they said he's also been building walls lately.
How come nobody wrote this before?
Because he would ban them. He would do crazy things. He is not a friend to the media.
Well, I think it's
also
a little disingenuous to say you're not. But no,
to report
you're not surprised because he's been doing X, Y, and Z.
That's contradictory. Then he's not a friend. And I agree with you. He's not a friend to the media. He's very adversarial to the media. I saw a tweet from Armin Katayan, who's remember for years a sideline guy, and he said, you know, something like. A final farewell to Bill Polian. Always could rely on being a foot in all caps out of place in getting a call from Bill Polian to get back where I'm supposed to be or something like that.
Well,
very adversarial. So if that's the way he was with the media, why would the media be reluctant to criticize him?
Right.
Andy's right. Because they should have been saying, well, he doesn't give me anything anyway.
No, because once you do criticize, then he makes it hard for you to do your job. Even when we were there. with our camera crews, we didn't do anything different than we do any other team, you know, road game. He would have somebody follow.
No, what? I know, but that's a little
different.
That's Patriots-Colts
that's
rivalry. Game,
that's petty rivalry. But I'm talking about the media. Why would the media say, I can't write these bad things about him?
Right.
Because then what?
Because yeah. He would.
Especially columnists.
He would deny them access, probably.
Well, so what? You're not getting it. You're not getting access.
No, first of all, I don't think you can do that
under
league rules. And second of all, you're a columnist.
I think they were afraid.
But I just think it's disingenuous to now say, oh, I'm not really surprised because he was doing X, Y, and Z.
And a lot of people, by the way, are on that train.
I told you guys, the only reference I even saw to hinting at this was Mike Lombardi said, he started a sentence, if Bill Polian is still in charge.
And he said that a couple months ago.
No. That was this past weekend.
Oh, okay. Well,
but right. I hadn't heard anything until Bill Polian fired.
You know, Boomer Esiason sort of talked about that a little bit today, saying he wasn't overly surprised by that.
Really?
You know,
Where were all these guys last week?
You know, and I don't get it. You know, I don't get it. Why weren't you guys writing? Or
Andy Reid was
this?
On the hot seat. I mean, all these big names were on the hot seat. I never heard Polian.
Not just last week, but when they were winning. How come these stories weren't coming out?
No, but
when
even
they were
I don't even care about that.
I'm talking about him being on the hot seat. Everybody's saying they're not surprised that he's out.
He's definitely been getting criticism this year about how he shaped the team from the indie.
No,
media.
I don't care about that.
But
all
I mean,
these people are pretending they're not surprised he was fired.
Right. Yes,
but nobody told me he might get fired.
I just assumed that he had been handed the keys to the kingdom by Irsay.
Right.
He ran that place, so he can bring in Chris Polian. He can bring in Dennis Polian, who's still there, by the way.
What does he do?
Who's the other Polian that's at Stanford? What's his name? Special teams coach.
I don't
Chuck,
know.
Phil, Bill.
Yeah. But he can do whatever.
He goes by Polian.
Whatever he wants to do, he can do. He has full confidence of Jim Irsay. And then I found this out. I was shocked.
Me too.
I was shocked. Happily shocked.
And I think I heard Casserly last night saying he believes it's just a whole total start over. They're not going to pay Manning. They're just going to let him walk. They're not going to do anything to try to trade him. That'll be their last final kind of pat on the back. You go find your own team, home, money, whatever, and they're just going to go luck, rebuild, new GM.
And right. I applaud Irsay. I think if that's the case, if you really think you need to do that, then I think as an owner, he did a difficult thing, but I say it was probably the right thing to do. And he even called it an intuitive decision, which, you know, if as a fan, you might want to, you know,
it's a fancy way of saying it was a gut decision.
Yeah, it was. You know, you might be afraid of, you know, owners being intuitive about football, but I think he's owned the team long enough, been in the business long enough.
I got no problem,
and I give him credit for the move.
How are you going to feel if Patriots PR sends out a release saying Patriots have hired Bill Polian as a football advisor?
I would be more shocked at that than I was finding out that he was fired. I can't imagine that.
And then you'd say, and obviously he's a great football mind. I mean, just look at his track record.
They'd have to build an addition onto Gillette Stadium bigger than the Dallas Cowboys Stadium to fit his ego in here.
Next to Bill's.
There's no way. There's no way that would happen.
In mine.
You know, I've seen the Indy pregame when, you know, the guys are stretching and Polian walks up to each guy and shakes his hand. It's like, Get off the field.
Bill does that too.
No,
but he's the coach.
Yes, he does.
No,
he's
doesn't.
The coach.
He's also
though.
The GM.
Yeah, he doesn't do that.
But he's the coach.
Of course he does.
And by the way, Pioli
does not go up to each
Pioli
player and
did
shake
it.
Their hand.
Pioli did it every day. He was
Eric
here.
And I know because we're at the game.
Pioli did it too. What? Pioli did it.
Pioli
when he
might have. Okay,
did.
And I equate did. That.
You'd think that fact would actually allow you to see that, but he does that quite often.
I actually don't have a problem with it. Just looking at it, the nepotism thing really bothers me.
Yes.
Really, really bothers
me.
And the other thing you guys are going to laugh at me for, and probably deservedly so, I think he might have lost it a little bit. And I've joked that ever since he got the skin stuff, I think he's getting old. I think he's kind of crossing over into that old coot phase.
Cranky
well,
old
they
man
have
face.
Certainly,
and I think he realized it by making his son the GM.
They have certainly whiffed on the draft recently.
I think he's old.
They
Move
have,
on.
You know,
Marv Levy was great once too. Move on.
We went down. You know, Anthony Gonzalez, Tony Hugo, Jerry Hughes. They have several first round picks. Donald Brown. Several first-round picks in recent years that have not panned out or have just been average players.
Right.
And, you know, look, let's step back and give Polian the credit that he's doing.
Oh, yeah.
He's
after several years of building a great team.
He's had an amazing
he's a Hall
NFL
of Fame
career
GM.
With the Bills.
Yeah, the Bills. I was going to say, first of all, the Bills.
The Bills and then Carolina getting them competitive right away as a new franchise and then doing
Actually,
it again.
I forgot about that era.
Yeah. And then doing it again with you know, the Colts.
Hall of Famer.
He has an yes, Hall of Famer, no doubt about it.
See, here's his problem. He always goes to somewhere where they have the first overall pick, and now he's leaving the team that has the first overall pick. He's screwed.
But I think Irsay now has a good position for himself in this team. He can now attract probably anybody he wants to either be GM or head coach, you know, even if a head coach wants all the power. Because you've got that first overall pick. You've got a brand new stadium. You don't have to worry about any of that.
Just want to clarify real quick. They still have a head coach, right?
Yeah,
right.
They do.
But no, but I'm just saying. And
I know. I'm just saying technically they have a head coach right now.
But, you know, if there's a Jeff Fisher, if he wants a Jeff Fisher who he's familiar with because they were in the same if he wants to come in and have full power, I don't think he's going to have any problem getting rid of Jim Caldwell.
No, but I think if I were Irsay and I'm really doing the – get rid of Irsay. I mean –
Caldwell?
Caldwell. Just – because I can't believe
he
did that. They brought in Holmgren, and then Holmgren gets rid of Mancini later.
Right.
But he kept him for a year.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, but I think it was a foregone conclusion.
I don't think there's any chance that Caldwell's going to stay.
It's a waste of time.
So just get rid of him.
Right.
And let the new guy come in and hire his own
guy. But even if he's not, he's going to get rid of him. Even if he keep like Mangini keeps him for a year, he's going to get rid of him.
No, but I would say don't even make him – don't put him in that position where he feels like, well, I'm the new guy. I come in. I got to get rid of this guy. Just get rid of him. You know he's not the coach of the future. You know that. Just make the move. I think it's dumb to sit here and wait.
Well, I think it depends on whether or not you're – if you're looking for a GM first, I think you do wait. You wait for the GM to come in and let him decide who on that staff he wants to keep and who he wants to fire. If your idea is to bring in a coach / GM, then yeah, then
no,
you get rid of him right
care.
Now.
I don't care. I mean, if it's a new GM, Jim Caldwell is not going to be the coach.
I don't know.
Old or indifferent.
Well,
he's not staying there, as Andy said, beyond this year.
I let my
maybe the guy comes in like Holmgren did, said, you know what, it's not fair for me to fire Mangini sight unseen. So he went through a charade.
And you waste a year.
Wasted a year, basically.
Well,
Holmgren knew the day he took over the Browns that Mangini wasn't going to be his guy.
Don't you think the dual role has kind of run its course?
And Mangini, by the way,
depends
is 1,000 times better than Jim Caldwell.
I don't think you can paint with a broad brush and say it can't or can work. It just depends
on
the guy.
It just hasn't worked more than it has.
It's so difficult.
Far more.
It's really hard.
It's so difficult now with all the hours that coaches put in coaching.
Right. Name one that worked.
You really can't do it anymore.
Yeah. A lot of people here are arguing it doesn't work.
I think it works here. I think that...
No, but I'm being dead serious. A lot of fans are now arguing GM Bill needs to go.
Well, I know that, but I think it's ridiculous. I think it's ridiculous.
Okay. That's your opinion.
You know, I think that, you know...
Some fans think it's ridiculous. We continue to pick multiple second-round picks every year and cut them 2 years later.
The fact that they don't win Super Bowls every year doesn't diminish the fact that they are in the playoffs every year, and that's what you want for your team.
With the best quarterback in the league.
Well, okay, but, you know... I'm
just being devil's advocate. Yeah. I'm just voicing the fans.
So, you know,
that's
what Andy does.
You know, but you're gonna have to wait till Tom Brady leaves to.
Okay, but give me another one. It doesn't work. It hasn't worked.
I'd have to think about that.
You would.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
Well, okay.
Well, there aren't any.
There aren't any.
All the modern day success stories are Baltimore and Atlanta and San Francisco and Green Bay and New Orleans. They all have coaches
separate
in a good working relationship with a strong personnel.
Philly? Philly's two, right?
Yeah.
Reed has final say, but not really.
Yeah, I don't know exactly
Joe
what that
Banner
one is.
Or something? Who's the guy that...
So Philly's kind of...
Maybe. But even that's a little different because it's Holmgren-like in that you work up to...
Oh, I thought you meant because of his...
No, but you work up to that. You're not hired as the GM and coach. You're hired as the coach. You were there so long and had so much success, you become more powerful.
Right.
All right.
I can't take a break right now.
Oh, did he go?
Yeah.
All right. So then I was going to take a break.
How are you burping before lunch?
I have a Diet Pepsi.
Oh, okay.
I was going to take a break and then go to the phones, but since Kevin has left to go get the food, we'll go right to the phones, the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Eldridge in North Carolina has been holding on for over half an hour. Hey, Eldridge.
Yes.
Hey, fellas, how y'all doing?
Good.
Tremendous. How are you?
What's up, Big E?
I'm doing good now. I'm glad to hear y'all because yesterday that WEI song, and I want to get through, and I think he's an idiot.
Which one?
The one that's blaming Brady. Somebody, if Brady don't play good, this team don't go far. You know, never mind the defense. We are number one in takeaways and this and that. Yeah, that's in takeaways. You know what I mean?
We're number one in giveaways, too.
Giveaways.
That's how we get to the best in the AFC because we don't turn the ball over.
We got 30, and I think the Ravens behind us with 29, something like that. He was announcing yesterday.
Yeah.
But one thing the Ravens got that we don't have You know, they got somebody that can pressure the whole team, that can pressure the quarterback and slow you down.
T-Sizzle.
With Brady, if they stop us a couple of series, our defense can't do the same. You know, especially with a team with a good quarterback. Example, Pittsburgh game.
Right.
Pittsburgh game.
Yeah. Right, no question. And even when you had your best, the Pittsburgh game, Andre Carter's gone. He was your best player if you had hope of that, and he's gone.
Do that.
Right.
Right. So if a couple of defenses stop Brady, you know, and then it's my way, it's all on Brady. No, it's not. Don't you think that Brady would like, just for once, the defense bail him out just a little bit, you know, that if they stop us, we stop them back out, you know what I mean?
Instead but it ain't happening. That'll have to wait till next year.
I'm like you, Eric. That defense thinks. I don't care what you say about stats or whatever. I trust my own eyes.
Right.
I trust my own eyes, too.
I trust your eyes, too, Eldridge. You're driving.
And I love my team. I ain't going to lie to you. And as far as this GM thing with Bill or whatever, I'm one of the haters. I ain't going to lie to you. Has personnel, like I said, this year was the best combat I've seen in a while. And everybody that we thought we should have got, that we could have got, those
picks
in the first round.
So you think if the Patriots had a better GM, they'd be winning these Super Bowls instead of just getting into the playoffs?
Better personnel, yes.
Wow.
I think so.
I mean,
I do.
I agree.
I agree with
him.
I'll give you a good example.
You don't think they could have maximized all these second-round picks and had a lot better talent?
Well, and the prime of the career of one of the best quarterbacks of all time?
I think if you had maximized your picks, you'd be looking at 03 and 04.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd be looking a whole lot better than what you're looking now.
You're darn right you would.
03 won Super Bowl.
Preach it, bro. Preach it.
Well, where you'd be the favorite going into every one of these games instead of saying, I hope Pittsburgh doesn't I hope we get Cincinnati.
That would be unprecedented success if the Patriots, in addition to the ones that they've already won, continue to win over these years that people are complaining about.
But they're this close. They're 13-3.
Yeah.
They're this close.
So why try? It never happened before.
You've
won 27 games in 2 years.
I don't think the Patriots pick players in the draft thinking, well, these guys aren't that good. I think they pick the best players available that they think are available.
Just
like every other team misses. No. That's the problem.
Right.
It's like if, you know.
But every other team doesn't have Tom Brady.
Yeah, but.
And every other team that misses, you fire the guy who misses.
And they find some other reason not to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but Fred, the mistake.
Not in the last 5 years they haven't.
The mistake in your.
Who? One team has won all 5 years?
No, but other teams have.
Right. And there's a lot of different ways to do it right.
Other teams have won.
The Patriots' way is just as good as any other team's way.
We've been doing it wrong. You take the garbage picks.
That's right.
They do it the same way they've always been doing it.
Oh, but Eldridge's point is right. If you have all these picks.
I see this as inarguable. The teams that aren't. You could say if they didn't have more talent, they wouldn't have won the Super Bowl.
Fred, you're saying the teams that there are other teams that make just as many mistakes in the draft. But they're not making the mistakes by trading all their picks down and wasting them on these Jag players. They're making the mistake by trying to hit on talent up high.
The Patriots miss on guys, but they also hit as many other guys. A few.
Yeah.
Name one.
Name the team that has a higher hit percentage in the first three rounds than the Patriots. Name the team.
Since when?
The ones we got
since the Belichick era or like since 06?
No, since 06.
Okay. That'll be my project for the weekend.
Okay.
I'd also, if you're actually going to do that, Paul, can you look, and I don't know how you could do this, but second round picks cut and how quickly? Like I don't know if
I can figure that out, but I'll try.
Well, all that I can know is,
those teams have won Super Bowls, then
now it's a stipulation that the other team.
Well, that's what you're saying for the Patriots. Unless they win the Super Bowl, then they don't know how to draft. Wait,
that's not what we're saying. You can be all ridiculous if you want to and be like Andy in an argument, but that's not going to get anything done.
The same time we had our garbage picks. Instead of us getting Price, we had chance to get Centurion Brown. We got Price. Look at Brown now.
So they missed on him.
Look at Manuel, okay?
Look at all the guys they could have picked instead of Aaron Hernandez and you know, Dan Gronkowski.
Jimmy Graham.
You know, they could have.
Why we got Dan Gronkowski?
Rob Gronkowski. They could have picked other guys besides them, but they hit on those guys. I think we put a microscope over the Patriots, and if we did the same thing with every other team, we would see the same thing. It's hard to assemble 53 guys that are all talented every year.
Yep.
It's really hard to do that. You're going to have upper-level guys, and you're going to have guys that aren't so good. We're very fortunate on this team that our upper-level guy is Tom Brady.
Let's re-rack. Let's re-rack for a second, and let's kind of step back and look at this. Do you think
– Eldridge, thanks for the call.
Do Do you think?
I didn't even let him talk.
Well, Eldridge gave us a great topic here to right. jump on here. Do you think that the Patriots' defense has been good enough the last couple of years?
No.
Okay. Do you think the Patriots have used a lot of draft picks on defense the last couple
yes.
of years? Yes. So wouldn't it then be fair to say that if they had hit on a few more of those, their defense would be more talented and therefore more
absolutely
more, complementary
absolutely.
To the offense?
Absolutely.
And therefore you could have won titles.
Absolutely.
I'm not saying that the Patriots missed on these picks on purpose. No one's suggesting right. that. Don't be ridiculous.
But,
no one's saying
But you
that.
Are saying that because of the way they do things, they on picks.
I think it makes it harder to hit on picks when you constantly right. trade down. Yes, I am saying that.
Right. And
when you consistently make it harder on yourself and pick 50 instead of 30, it's harder to get a good player.
I don't think they're trading down 20 spots, but here's
I'm
the thing.
I'm just you throwing numbers out, round
you
numbers.
You just threw the number out. I didn't.
Do they consistently
this
trade
is one
down?
Of those fights. Monday, yeah. Tuesday.
No. Do they consistently trade
they
down?
They traded down four times in the last 3 years. Or four times in the last 8 years.
That's not true.
That's true.
But
I'm not talking
guarantee
about.
I guarantee they traded down four times last year alone.
Yeah.
But
no,
I'm not going to argue.
You can't look at the stuff they do with the Eagles and all that crap. I'm talking about first three.
I'm not
rounds.
Talking about one spot. I'm talking about moving from the first round down to the second round.
Right.
Which they've consistently done
twice.
Twice they've done that twice.
They did it twice with Devin McCourty.
Didn't they? In the same draft.
And once with Gerard Mayo.
No, but that was in the first round. They didn't move out of the first round to get Devin McCourty.
No, but they traded down.
Right.
They decided we wanted somebody six picks later instead of six picks earlier.
And as a result, you yielded the talented players like Darius Butler and Terrence Wheatley.
Misses.
Yes.
Misses.
But do you think it's easier if you just took the first round pick and Devin McCourty or just keep trading down and take the next best guy?
But here's what they say.
Rasai Dowling is the latest one.
But here's what they're saying, and you can choose not to believe it if you want. But, you know, where they're picking, if they're picking at 27 – and they have six guys that they all feel is the same value at 27. They feel they can move as many spots as six down and still get one of those guys.
Because
that's
they
their
say
philosophy.
It doesn't make it right.
But well, see, but then why are they doing that?
But
to make it harder on themselves?
But it's not
because they're not good.
If you make
not
a mistake,
enough.
It's just a mistake.
Yeah,
if you make enough mistakes, it means
you're
in
not
the
good
job.
Enough.
The
exactly.
The philosophy isn't the problem, Fred. It's the talent evaluation. If you have a philosophy that says these six guys are the same, and they really are the same, then there's nothing wrong with the philosophy.
So on the guys that they hit, like Gronkowski and Hernandez and, you know, Dan Copen when they picked him in the fourth round or whatever, with the talent
evaluation. I thought we weren't allowed to talk about those round picks because they don't count. But when they hit, they count. Dan Copen counts.
No, but you're saying that only when they miss, they count.
No, what I'm saying is the philosophy isn't wrong. If you think there are five or six guys that stop and let someone else talk for a second.
When someone else is talking,
if you think there are five or six guys that are the same, that's fine. Hindsight has told us that their five or six guys that they think are the same haven't been the same.
Well,
it's a talent evaluation problem.
But we don't even know what those we've never been told what those.
But
five
they
or six
haven't
guys
picked
are.
Guys that have been very good.
They've missed on some guys, but you know
right.
what?
And
every
all,
team has.
But no one's saying that the other teams don't miss, Fred. We're saying had they hit, they may have won a few more championships because they have
right.
Tom Brady.
Well, but you can't just. But look,
that's all anyone said. That's all Eldridge was saying. You yell at the guy for nothing.
It's completely unfair because you just said
Not unfair.
It's not unfair.
Let
at
me
all.
Finish, please.
Let him finish talking. Now.
You just said every team misses, right?
Yes, I believe that.
So
it's a tough thing to do.
Right,
yes.
It is a tough thing to do.
But no one's saying that, you know, let's strip these guys of the, I mean,
no,
Andy
but what they're saying is we should take Belichick out of GM because he's missed.
But no one's really saying that.
Oh,
well,
I think they are.
Come on.
I think they
I'm
are,
not,
Paul.
Listen, don't confuse. Wait a minute. You give me one guy that has said that.
Anthony.
Fans. No. Thank you. One, like, an analyst or an NFL guy that thinks he's over his head or a media member. I'm not talking about fans who think, emotionally and say, I just want this guy out. Can you think of a Charlie Casterly or a Peter King who said, you know, Belichick's got to get, they got to relieve him of those duties.
And honestly, I haven't.
I haven't. And if you have,
yeah.
by all means, I missed it. That's all. I'm not saying they don't because there's
right.
a lot of Bill Hate out there.
Right. No.
I'm sure there are some people who think that.
Other than the local, but I will say.
But don't tell me the same thing. Don't treat, in all due respect, Anthony and Eldridge the same as Charlie Casterly.
Look,
Bill Polian.
I would bet you that Bill Belichick, like he says, says, we need to draft better. I don't think that he's arguing that.
But what I think
don't understand
are mad
why you're
at,
getting
Fred.
All defensive about yeah. it. It's kind of a fact.
Well, I'm getting defensive when people like Eldridge say he shouldn't be the GM. He doesn't know how to draft. That's garbage. He knows how to draft. They've yeah. missed just like every other team.
Yeah, but
team
you
has.
Keep saying right. that, Fred. But what you keep missing is that every other team doesn't waste their draft picks by trading them down for crap.
See, that's the they part miss. That people don't like. Is yes. yes, they're missing like everybody else. But everybody
but
else,
rather miss
everybody else is taking their swing when their turn
exactly.
comes up. We're making it harder on ourselves, and we're missing.
Well,
that's what people don't like.
Again, I think that yes, they do trade down, and. They've told us exactly what they're thinking when they do that. When they have a pool of guys that are all equally valued, let's say it's six guys, that means they can trade down as many as six places
which,
and still get one of those guys.
Which goes
now,
back to
now,
Paul's point.
But hold on.
That the evaluation sucks.
Okay. They've missed guys, but then every team misses. So does every team's evaluation suck?
Every team hits,
even
too.
Teams that go move
yeah,
up.
Teams hit every, as every well as they miss, too. Yeah.
Right. So do the Patriots.
But people are mad that they're in the
so
fashion
no GM
that they're
should
missing.
Ever be fired. Ever.
No, when you're not winning.
No one always loses.
When,
no
when,
one always
when
misses.
When you can assemble a team year after year after year that makes the playoffs, that should count for something, goddammit.
Like Pittsburgh and Philadelphia.
Yes,
so wait.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So wait a minute.
Absolutely.
Why is Bill Polian fired?
I don't see anybody.
Because every time Peyton Manning played, they made the playoffs.
Okay.
When Peyton Manning
wait
didn't.
Now, you know, that's completely unfair because you know Indianapolis has more to do with drafting. That has to do with a total vision going forward. All right.
No,
so
but
it's not
it's
fair to compare that. I think if you did.
So you think Polian would have been fired if Manning had not gotten hurt?
No. I think he'd still be there.
But he's been drafting crappy.
I think Manning getting
hurt. He's been hurt, drafting crappy.
I think Manning getting hurt, okay. If Manning hadn't gotten hurt, they'd be still winning, right?
Right.
Do we still agree
just
with that?
Just like Brady and the
right.
Patriots are
so
still winning.
So I don't
winning.
Think any of this would have come to a head in Indianapolis like
so
it has.
So would your feeling be any
they
different?
They wouldn't have the chance to draft Andrew
no, but,
Luck.
But had Brady missed this year and the Patriots went 4-12, because I personally think they would have with this defense.
Right.
Would your feeling be different on Belichick's power and,
no.
and drafting?
No. It wouldn't.
Okay.
It wouldn't.
I don't know if I can believe you, and I'm not calling you a liar. I just think the circumstances on the ground would change, and you might change your opinion.
2 or 3 years? Okay. But
well, it's only one year.
After 1 year, 4-12? No. You know,
everybody has been, and not just Ursa, I'm talking about everybody been tearing down the Colts because they don't do it the right way. It's about one guy.
Right.
They didn't draft well. They didn't surround him. They didn't do this. I think you could have argued the same thing this year about the Patriots if Brady goes down.
Well, we don't know, but.
No, but in my heart of hearts, I believe with this defense, they would have been in trouble.
And
I do.
I'm not even going to play that dangerous game of what would happen if Brady were out because you don't know. But I tend to agree with Andy, my opinion. But don't you look at Fred just like top to bottom, the overall talent level of this roster. I would trade this roster with a lot of other teams if you could tell me I could keep Brady and Belichick.
On offense? The offense?
And Gronk. Too. Everything.
I'll take Gronk.
I mean, I think that there are outliers. Gronk is one of them, no question. Hernandez, no question.
Welker.
Yeah.
Hankins.
He's back to loose change for Paul.
And I know you guys don't like Gerard Mayo, but Gerard Mayo, Vince Wilfork. No? Okay.
Like Gerard, that. But
we'll
that's,
agree to disagree there.
But I'm not. This wasn't meant to be like a nitpick argument over each individual player. I'm just talking. You know, like, we've talked a lot about the defenses in Green Bay and the Patriots. They've been the worst two defenses in football all year, and Green Bay passed us at about, 4 o'clock on Sunday. All right? I'm not sure Gerard Mayo would start for them. I'm not positive.
Yeah, I think he would.
Well, he might. He might. Maybe he is better than some of those guys. I don't know. I'd take Desmond Bishop, but maybe he's not as good. I don't know. But individually, my point is, as collectively, I think their talent individually is better than the Patriots. But I'll take my chances with Belichick and Brady. The Jets, they're a mess. They're a mess, top to bottom. I think that there would be a whole different situation with Belichick and Brady. There are more Jets that I would take on my team than not, in comparison to the Patriots. I believe that.
A guy like Santonio Holmes, he's not going to perform for anyone. I don't
care. Oh, sure he would. He was fine
really?
In Pittsburgh.
Well, that's true.
Sure he would.
But they wanted to get rid of him.
And we talked about why.
I don't know
if you missed the first 20 minutes of the show.
Yeah. Well, I just think that you know, I think it's fair that we put the Patriots under a microscope because that's the team that we cover. But I think you also have to look at, A, how hard it is to draft. Not saying that you can't excuse them for missing, but let's be fair and look around the league. You know, the Patriots have had this. They haven't changed philosophy in 2006. They had the same philosophy, you know.
Don't you think it's fair? They have made the second round the emphasis of their drafting in recent times. They've traded down and stockpiled, so they've had 2 to 3 second-round picks, and they've missed on a lot of those.
They have.
And by the way, any team that consistently misses in the second round deserves criticism. Those are picks you got to hit on. You got to hit on your first. You got to get players that can play in your second and third. That's how you build a team.
Like I said, I think Bill Belichick would say, we need to draft better. We need to do a better job. We can't miss on guys
but
like
it's not we. It's him. Well, it all falls on his shoulders for whether he likes it or not. Especially with the rumblings we hear of scouts not happy that they're not going with what they say.
But I still think that
from
that's
the Michael Holly book.
I still think that that's a mile short of saying Bill shouldn't be GM. I just don't.
But I'm not saying Bill shouldn't be GM. I'm saying they need to do a better job.
Okay, I agree with that.
I mean, no one wants. I don't want to fire Belichick. Believe me.
But that's
you might
where,
have to.
But that's every time we talk about that. We always get
but,
that.
You know, you continue you know, to say how hard it is, Fred, and I 1,000% agree with you how hard it is. Knowing that, why you would intentionally make it even more difficult on yourself by, as Andy said, targeting the second round as your round. I don't understand that.
Well, they might think that, you know.
They do think it, but they're wrong.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think it's hard to year after year after year do what they do.
I would rather.
And if they were so bad at handling their personnel issues, there's no way they'd have a chance.
But
to
just
do
think,
what
Fred,
do.
Of how much better they would be That's if they would take chances on first round picks instead of second, third, fifth round
Maybe.
Jags.
Or they could miss on those guys too.
I'd rather they miss on those guys than
okay.
these.
Okay, well that's your own preference.
Players.
That's your own preference.
That's a lot of people's preference.
You know, but if they did move up and miss, you'd be saying, "What are they doing?" You
no.
know.
Because they're making an effort to get blue-chip talent.
I think they're trying to get good guys.
I know I, they're know, trying, Fred, but the evaluation
on
is
their terms.
Off.
They're trying to get good guys on
is.
Their terms.
At times it's off, but at other times it isn't.
When did effort become all that was
no,
important?
But you know what I'm saying.
Not really. I think every team
I,
tries to
I
get good
I think they're
guys.
Trying as hard as any other team. I
Me
don't
too.
Think, all right?
I think
we're
Matt
not
Millen
disagreeing
tried.
With
they're
you,
missing
Fred.
On guys.
You don't think Matt Millen tried?
Yeah.
Well, I think Matt Millen was a moron.
We're not disagreeing with that. We're saying
if
that
it was a wide receiver he tried. But
we're criticizing their ability to make evaluations.
Right. But
that's all we're saying. We're not saying that they're not trying.
But I think you can't say that they're any worse than any other team.
Well, Paul's going to do that research.
Okay.
Cuz I want to know how many other teams have cut so many second round picks so quickly.
I don't know how to go about doing that, so I'm going to need some help, but I'll try to figure
enlist,
it out.
Enlist the services of PR.
Yeah, I want it. Never mind.
Can you tell us who drafts as poorly as we do?
All right.
That's why they hate us.
A lot of people on the phone. I you know, apologize.
We can't take a break now.
No, we
he
can't.
Left again.
Chris with a TIAN is on the line. Hey, Christian.
Gentlemen, what's happening?
Oh, you know, nothing. We're just talking draft.
Just a happy-go-lucky bye week.
Hey, listen, this is a great week in Patriot Nation. Look at what's happening to everybody else but us.
I love it. What do you call that, Schadenfreude?
Schadenfreude.
Schadenfreude. Right.
Whatever it is, I'll take it. That's great. I mean, the Jets crying, giving the finger. What's better than that? Oh, man, it's great.
Bill Polian crying?
Gone. Oh, man, that's even better.
Getting the
and
finger?
Turnistan. Let's chalk up another one if we play them. All set.
Yes, actually.
I mean, that's great. I'm excited. Playoffs are here. Let's get it going, man. I mean, please, stop talking about the draft. Eldridge, I love you, but, you know, I can't do the whole GM belt.
All right, question for you, Christian. No matter who the opponent is on the 14th, what would you say your confidence level is that the Patriots are going to win that game?
No matter who they play?
No matter who they play.
About 90% confident they win.
90%?
Even if it's Pittsburgh? I know Eric said you couldn't pretend who they're going to play, but if they play Pittsburgh?
Yeah, it is, because I know Pittsburgh played them great earlier this year, and they manned up on them and everything, and they stifled that offense.
All right.
But Roethlisberger, the Wimpins, no Mendenhall. I don't know how good that backup is.
I actually think that's a positive for the Steelers. I think they put the running game away because Mendenhall's not there. And the other issue is, Mendenhall, as much as I love him, when he runs with that ball out like this, that's just asking for Patrick Chung to pop it out and that be a game-changing play. So I actually think that helps Pittsburgh. All right, we're just going to spread you out and go with the 50 passes again and see if we can torch your secondary.
Plus, the other guy isn't terrible.
No, but he's not ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I really do like the pass at home, and I think...
Despite what's happened the past 2 years.
Yeah, because, you know, last year, everybody got wrapped up in... And I did too. 14-2. We were 6-1 against these playoff teams, and you know we were had an opportunistic defense. Well, where did it get you? This year it's the complete opposite. We didn't play anybody. We didn't stop anybody. So I mean,
how's that a positive? How did you spin that into a positive? I missed that.
Because I had everything going for me last year, and I got slapped in the face.
This is the best call ever.
So you're more confident in the year that they haven't beaten any. The only playoff team they've beaten is Denver.
Reverse psychology.
Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm going with.
All right. As long as you have solid reason on your side.
Yeah. That's you said 90%. That's fine. I'm a little surprised. That's all.
Yeah. I mean, you want to look at matchups and stuff. Yeah. Roethlisberger can torch us, but you know, I don't think Brady's going to be losing to the Steelers, and Belichick is going to let them do what they did. You know, they're going to find a way around it. They're going to game plan. They're going to do something.
I like the argument that all these other teams aren't playoff teams because the Patriots beat them.
Yeah, I mean, you got to give me a break. I mean, you know, the one thing that I love is
they didn't beat the Steelers.
So they're not, you know, they haven't beaten any playoff teams. But if they get in the playoffs, they're really not going to play anybody, so they're going to have a shot because the playoff team's not that good.
Right,
I agree with that.
Yeah.
What are you doing here? Obviously, it's you know the defense stinks, and we're going to go as far as Brady can take us. End of story. That's it.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay? Well said.
So.
We agree.
Story at 11.
We agree.
All right. Thanks, Christian. See you in Indy.
All right.
Either way, I'll see you in Indy. I'll either be there for the Super Bowl or for the draft, but I'll see you in Indy.
Olivier's on the line. Hey, Olivier. No, he left. I don't know what happened.
I got to go to practice now for real.
Let's go to Joe in Florida. Hey, Joe.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What do you know, Joe?
I'm worrying more about the next future seasons than the season right now. I'm thinking, do you guys think that Ryan Mallett is our next quarterback?
No,
I have no idea.
Why are you looking 4 years ahead?
I'm thinking two.
Really? So you think?
I think there's bigger problems with Brady's shoulder than everybody seems to be looking at.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry yourself too much about that. I don't think it's that big a deal. First of all, it's his off shoulder, but I have not gotten any indication from anyone visually, audibly, anything that it's that big. If anything, I think you saw a good thing last week. He landed hard on that shoulder, and it was irrelevant.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know if that's just because he was shot up for the game, but whatever, it didn't affect him. He played great. They scored 49 unanswered points. They came back, all that whole thing. I wouldn't worry yourself about that shoulder, and I certainly wouldn't be worrying yourself now about Ryan Mallett developing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Enjoy the playoffs.
All right, thank you, man.
All okay, right, see Joe. You, Joe. What do you know?
Joe in Florida.
You talked him off the ledge.
I feel good. Now I did my duty.
Maybe see, I should be not all negative,
you
Fred.
You think I could make myself a suicide counselor, those people that...
Oh, yeah, that would work.
I could see you like 15 seconds into the call. Just jump.
Oh, yeah. Jesus, I know why you want to jump. It doesn't rhyme.
Olivier's back on the line. Hey, Olivier.
Hey, guys.
What happened?
Well, I don't know. I think...
Kevin.
I think you guys dropped me.
Yeah, it was probably the monkey.
Yeah, no, that's not true. I think he was eating his burger and... I think he did the right thing.
Oh.
So I have to say that Tuesdays are not the same without you guys. Hopefully it doesn't happen again.
I hope it doesn't happen again either.
Yeah, I agree with the previous caller. It was not the other monkeys on the studios were not very good.
Send an
anyway.
Email. Complain.
Yes, I will.
Yeah, mobilize.
I went to Mr. Kraft already.
Mobilize the movement. PFW, okay. More. 5 days a week.
Five? What? Why not seven? Anyway,
easy now, easy.
What do you guys think that are we going to benefit from Black Monday? Do you think we might be able to get some help for Coach Belichick from different folks like Agnolo that loves?
Well, I don't
job.
Know. What does he need help with? Fred says he's trying.
People are okay. Be an idiot.
Trying is not enough.
But you know, people talk about Spagnuolo. He's the defensive guy. You know, whether or not they bring him in. But
yeah.
I think they have Matt Patricia tabbed for that slot. Yeah. And then Josh McDaniels is still under contract. He did not get fired. with the Rams. They're going to allow whoever comes in to decide whether or not they want to keep him on the staff. And I haven't heard anybody rule him out being elevated to head coach, believe it or not.
In St. Louis?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I know. I saw Bradford likes him, wants him back, the whole thing. And that would probably help in that if they really have a good relationship.
Yeah. So
what do we do if O'Brien leaves then? Who do we promote or who do we hire?
No coordinator. Bill Belichick will take a huge role, and in 2 to 3 years, Brian Ferentz will be named offensive coordinator.
Oh, really?
He's the tight ends coach.
Bigger role? Wow.
Well, Belichick will take over. You know, he'll groom a play caller. You know, well, who knows? Nick Caserio could come down again from the front office to help out on offense, whatever it'll be. But I. You know, everybody. Mike Martz is available now. He resigned, and this guy's available. That guy, I just don't see it. I said to Paul, "We're painting ourselves into a corner because we always warn fans: don't ever say Bill doesn't do X." And we're saying that right now that he's not going to go out and get. He always promotes from within. But I really, until I'm stunned by the move he makes, I'm going to say it's not happening.
I just can't see them bringing in a named coordinator to say, "Here, run what we already have in place."
Right. Or a named coordinator being willing to do that, doing something he doesn't know and he doesn't have faith in or whatever. So I think it's most likely you see Brian Ferentz and
now defense,
et al.
I could see that.
I couldn't.
See,
like
I could.
Spagnuolo, even beyond the stuff you said, he runs a more aggressive, pressure-based four-man scheme. So it doesn't even feel on paper, you know, even though they ran a 4-3 front this year, it wasn't a real aggressive, pressure-based scheme. So it's just very different. So I don't know. Bill wants to do what Bill does.
Yeah, I don't know enough about Spagnuolo's history. I know that's what they do now. Maybe he would be able to adjust based on personnel.
Oh, I'm sure he could adjust. But if he'd be willing to enough and with Bill, I don't know that a lot of established defensive coordinators want to come here and be under Bill's thumb.
Yeah.
Because they know in the end they don't have say. It's going to be what he wants.
You know, like a Dick LeBeau, he has his way that he's always done it.
Right.
And he's been there long enough where he can bring in the guys to fit that system. A new defensive coordinator who has a philosophy can't do that here because he doesn't have the right personnel, you know? So, anyway, anything else? Oh, he's gone. Let's go to
Did you hang up on him?
Yeah. Let's go to Larry in Miami. Hey, Larry.
What's going on? Hello?
Yeah, we're here.
Hey, guys, man. First of all, I want to say don't ever do that to us again on Tuesday. I don't know what that was, Tuesday.
Are they really that bad? I mean, how can they be? It's just sports. You're just talking Patriots. You get interviews. How hard is it?
It's not that they're that bad.
It's so bad, I didn't even let them say anything. It just was that bad.
Well, you got to send an email.
An email. Start a movement. Tell Mr. Kraft we want PFW in progress 5 days a week.
No.
And Andy needs a raise.
Andy needs a raise?
Right. Yes. Fred and Paul
do
fine.
I'm really going to do that, but not the raise. But
Hey. If I got to do more work, I should get more money.
Good, Larry.
But, yeah, man, I pretty much got what I wanted, you know, Brady playing the whole game. Wish it was not Iowa 21 down, but that's pretty good. It's pretty good. But I got to give credit to the defense because they just go after that, you know. So I got to give them credit for that. But Brady was on point yesterday, Sunday. So the thing is, I just don't want people to sleep on, you know, just in case we get Cincinnati, because they can match up with our receivers.
Yeah.
Because they got the number two defense, I believe, and they can really match up and give us problems.
Yep.
And our secondary, I don't know how A.J. Green is doing, but
good.
It could be a long day.
Yep.
You know? So, yeah, I'd rather Pittsburgh, to be honest.
You'd rather play Pittsburgh?
I'd rather play Pittsburgh.
Holy crap.
Because you think we have a better chance of beating them, or just because?
We got a better chance of beating them because I don't believe Belichick would lose twice to a team in a row. And it was just simple adjustments, and it was just the offense slowing down. If they get in the shootout, you know, I believe, you know, Roethlisberger is already injured. So, you know, his game is, you know, moving around.
Isn't
and
Pittsburgh
right now,
number one in points allowed?
I don't know.
So, I'd rather take Pittsburgh than Cincinnati because they might sleep on Cincinnati and they might cause trouble with our receivers.
Yeah, but they might just lose to Pittsburgh because they're not good enough.
All right, Larry, that's an interesting perspective. Thanks for the call.
I'm waving my hand. I have a question.
Yes.
We haven't touched on Devin McCourty playing safety. What do you think about this theory that it makes the secondary significantly better because teams can't target him like they were clearly targeting him when he was playing cornerback. And at least now, while the other guy may not be physically as talented, Sterling Moore, Antoine, they don't have quite the bullseye on their back that Devin McCourty did.
That's an incredible admission if that's true. Because now you're saying that
you've
he was
him.
So much worse than even these other Jags.
But you've watched him, Fred.
No, I know.
He's been bad. Really, 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 really bad.
At times he has
1,000
yeah.
yards. That's never been done before in the
you
pro
think
football
that's...
face. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out.
Because you don't think that there would be... You just target Antoine Molden or Sterling Moore?
You don't know who he is. You don't really know.
I'd be willing to find out.
I'm wondering.
You know me. I always try to be positive.
Oh, God.
Well, I'll give you one thing that I thought of, and I don't know if this is breaking ground or anything like that, but just that he struggled so bad this year, seemingly unable to find the football. He's always got his back to the football. Maybe at safety he's just saying, you know what, you're going to be constantly facing the quarterback. I mean, that's safety play. You keep everything in front of you, and you know.
But does that make the defense better, or does it just make Devin McCourty not look?
Well,
better?
I think it's kind of an admission, like Fred said. Maybe Antoine Molden or Sterling Moore is a better cornerback than James Ahedebo is a safety. So I'm going to move McCourty. Might help him a little bit keeping things in front of him. And instead of Ahedebo with Chung, I have McCourty with Chung. And even though Molden's not as good as McCourty, maybe he's...
I'm not going to disregard
maybe
that
he's better than Ahedebo.
Not as good as McCourty.
Now,
McCourty's been terrible.
Was McCourty...
He has been.
If they all ran out there with blank jerseys...
I can't sugarcoat it. You're right.
We don't know if they all just ran out there with blank jerseys on, and we didn't know who was who and who had what resume. I'm not sure McCourty would end up in your top two, based on what we've seen from him.
Did we see McCourty in base defense at safety? Or
well, they were mostly in
pack?
mostly in sub, but they played sub the whole
right.
game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean.
So the question is, if they keep him there in base.
Well, they didn't. They had a couple snaps where he didn't play safety early in the game.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
But for the most of the rest of the game, Buffalo was in spread. Like
okay.
Base. I mean, sub was what you were going to be in.
Yeah.
But
Yeah.
I just think it's interesting. And I think it's interesting for him. We've talked about his confidence all year and whether you'd pull him. And if you had other corners, would you pull him? Could he have lost playing time this year?
There's nothing more
demoralizing than, you know, you're a corner being pushed to safety. You're a tackle being moved to guard. You're a running back being told, you're a fullback now, block for this other guy.
It's like in baseball, you know, being pulled from the infield to right field in Little League.
Right,
you know?
The little fat kid out in right field.
Right.
I was a second baseman, so don't get any ideas. I was a fat second baseman. They called me Pork Chop.
Okay, it's not all about you. Melvin's in Tennessee. Hey, Melvin.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Great. I just had to. I'm actually going to side with the defense for a little while, just a little bit, but I'm going to side with the defense. Whenever I sit up and watch our defense, I just sit up. I know it's pretty bad, but I'm going to evaluate them on not having yards together. I could care less about yards giving up. It's about the points that were scored and the third down. Efficiency. For some odd reason, we cannot get out the field on third down. And Brady and that offense for the last couple of weeks, you know, a couple of three and outs starting the game isn't helping either. Everybody knows that our offense is our strong point, but, you know, you take away our strong point, then we just have our defense out here playing the whole game. Of course, we're going to look terrible. And with the McCourty thing, getting switched to safety, I could agree with that. You know, if you put a blind jersey on, all of them look just about the same. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going on with that secondary. And, you know, we would have kept a couple of those defensive backs that we had through the years and kept a little, you know, consistency. I think defense is about the situations and experience and letting Mayweather go. And Sanders, you know, it kind of looks like it's kind of haunting us a little bit. But I think Belichick will figure it out, hopefully. I don't know why he's still saying that in week 16, you know. But I hope we can get something going here.
So you think he's going to have a really good bye because he couldn't figure it out the first 17 weeks, but during the bye, he's going to figure it out.
I hope so. You're right. I have no idea.
Spikes and chunks. McCourty at safety.
Right. All right, Melvin. Thanks for the call. Keep the faith.
No problem.
All right. I'm with you. All right. On the phone now is the most interesting Patriots fan in the world, James Pettigrew. Hey, James.
Happy New Year, guys. How's it going?
Happy New Year to you, too. How's it going? How's the asses?
They're loving it. So I thought I'd phone in because for once in my life, I completely agree with everything Fred says. So I thought it was the watermark
wow.
time.
means you've lost your mind. The asses, the asses have driven you crazy.
Not only is he the most interesting fan in the world, he's the smartest fan in the world.
Well, no, I mean, the last two calls said we'd rather play Cincinnati and everything's going to be fine with McCourty, so I really think I'm going insane. But no, I just get frustrated with the GM talk and things like that, because it's not so much of getting rid of Bill as GM. It's just, who's your five candidates, who is going to fill that spot, who's available today?
Yeah, fans don't like it when you ask them that question.
Yeah.
I know, but I just think...
It's like the Jets thing with Peyton Manning. I told you, the Jets fans, they just want Sanchez out. Let's get Peyton Manning. Well, how do you do that? Just get him here.
Right.
Yeah. And
no one has any answers.
A couple of other things. I think if we just whiffed on every first-round pick and we chose someone and it was bad, I don't think fans would be any happier.
Right. No, they wouldn't.
No, you wouldn't be, but at least you would say that you were using all your resources.
I know.
Then it would just be a flat out.
I don't think you would. I think.
Oh, of course you would.
No, because I think if you whiff on a first rounder, you're down a player. If you trade down, you whiff on a second rounder. At least you've then got another player who may be on your roster.
But you whiffed on both in a lot of these cases. I mean, these Brace, Cunningham, Butler drafts, you've whiffed.
I'm comparing whiff to whiff, not. Not any, you know, if a guy hit, a guy hit. I don't care where you drafted a guy. If he hits, he hits. That's the only thing that counts.
How about Eric DaCosta? I'll throw that name out there.
But I still think fans wouldn't be any happier if you whiffed on a first round. I just don't think. I mean, if they're not happy with Bill the GM, then they're definitely not going to be happy with that.
Right.
I think it's insane.
And if he can't pick talent, he can't pick talent. Doesn't matter where he's picking.
Right.
Yeah, but I disagree that he can't pick talent.
Right. And so I'm with you, James. I disagree with that.
I know. I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah.
I feel insane. I'm going to go and give myself.
He's just argumentative today, James. Leave him alone.
You're arguing with the guy who agrees with you.
He called up for the sole purpose of agreeing with you.
I'm emphatically agreeing with him.
I think it's unfair to compare rosters because, for a start, Brady has a large contract that takes a lot of salary cap, and so you could probably swap any roster with that because if they don't have a very good quarterback, they're probably not paying as much. And also, other rosters are probably better because they don't have a better record than us. Over the last 5-10 years, so they've got more higher picks.
Sure.
So I think it's difficult to even compare that.
It's
so there
true.
We go.
Everything you just said is right on the money.
I don't think
Fred, I agree with you. I'm about to throw myself off a building.
Okay. Just land softly.
I will do.
Okay.
Let me ask you this
on
question.
An off.
I just cut off the most interesting Patriots fan.
Thanks for lunch, by the way. Question. And again, I'm not advocating getting rid of Bill Belichick, okay? So please don't take it to the theater of the absurd. But if you had the opportunity, let's just say Bill went to Robert and said, you know what? This is too much for me.
All right, you want to get rid of Bill Belichick? No, I'm only kidding.
Okay, this is too much for me. I just want to coach. I'm a coach. I'm not a personnel guy. I don't think I've done it very well the last couple of years. I think it's catching up to me. Let's just hand it all over to Floyd, or let's bring someone else out. Let's bring someone else in to run the draft.
Yeah.
You happy or sad with that?
I'm happy with that.
Why?
Because if that's true, but that's a hypothetical, Paul.
No, but I'm asking you why you'd be happy with that if you're satisfied
because
with the job the guy did.
Because it's one thing.
Chances are you're going to get a guy who doesn't do his job as well as he did if you think he's doing a good job.
No, but if the guy himself is saying it, okay. But that's a hypothetical. That's just not fact.
All right, well, what if Robert came to the realization and said,
then
this isn't working.
I wouldn't be
now,
happy
but,
with that.
But you had the guarantee that Bill would say, okay. I'll just continue coaching. See, I wouldn't want to do anything to Bill, the general manager, because I think you lose Bill, the coach, if you do.
Well, yeah, and
not because I'm so worried about losing the wonderful personnel evaluation
right.
skills.
I'd be okay with that as long as Bill still had the same amount of say as he has now. Now,
then that's not making a change.
No, but it is because you're bringing in someone with a good eye for talent. As you say,
but he's got the final say.
But at
I
least,
mean, there's arguments right now that there's
I know, but
that
but
people here have targeted different players.
All right, but at least the advice, assuming that this guy that we bring in is a crackerjack, you know, personnel guy, at least even if Bill has the final say, he's getting advice that's really good advice, and he would agree with because he's a smart guy. You know,
I still think he's just going to do what he wants.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand.
Well,
that.
No, but I mean, if you're getting really, really good advice, and you're smart, you're going to take it.
But he may have been getting really, really good advice the last couple of years in the second round and just ignored it.
We've been told that.
We don't know that though.
But we have been
but
told
he may
it.
Have been.
Well, You've been, there's other things we've been told about other teams, like in Indy.
Here we go. We've got to talk about some other teams that we don't care about.
But we only care about our team. But you choose what you're going to believe.
But I'm only talking about the Patriots because that's the only team that we have this kind of information about.
I just trust Bill Belichick.
I don't know.
I do.
And Bill, I trust.
He's earned it.
So just say that then. So you wouldn't be happy if he wasn't the general manager then because you know the guy coming in wouldn't be as good as him. In your minds, the guy coming in wouldn't be as good as
I think what they do works. Why screw it up?
If it works.
I think what he does as a coach works. I don't think what he does as a drafter works.
Well, it gets back to the old argument. What is he without Brady? I'd even think the coach thing is what is he without Brady? If Brady
but
were
be
not
willing
playing,
to say,
would everything you guys are saying be swayed?
Is that the same with Sean Payton?
Yes.
Again, yes.
Is that the same with Aaron Rodgers?
Yes. But who cares about the other teams?
No, I don't get this.
And by the way, they're not coming to the end. You are.
At some point, yeah, they have to think about life after Brady, but I don't think they have to think about that right now.
Some of the fans are thinking about it. They think it's 2 years away.
And at that point, maybe you'll be proven right that they don't know what they're doing.
I'm not trying to be proven right or wrong.
Yeah,
I'm just looking at the body of work, and he likes to pick in the second round, so he loads up on second round picks and misses on a lot of second round picks.
He also likes to pick in the first round.
Does he? I'm not sure he does.
Well, where they're picking, if they were picking top 10, I think they'd take the guy.
They would get an overrated player. Rod Mayo.
Why?
They get as far down into the top 10 as they could.
That's what they did. They traded down to get Mayo.
The one time that they had that pick.
The two times.
What about
they got
Richard Seymour?
They took him.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, no one's
arguing. He was pretty good.
No one's arguing about the draft from 2000 to 2006. No one's arguing about
that.
Happened? That's as good as you can do it.
Did he get draft Alzheimer's?
They started trading out of the first round consistently.
Pioli was here in 06.
I know, but for the bulk of it, he left.
They started trading out of the first round consistently after that.
He's been gone for 3 years.
Right.
You've had a lot of problems in the last 3 years.
06 and 07 when he was here sucked.
I know. But if we believe the company line, which one was it that had no talent? 07? Had no talent at all?
Yep.
Yeah.
Like the whole draft. Like there were 200 and something prospects. They all sucked.
Right. Traded down in the first round that year, by the way.
Pioli was here.
You like to take Bill at his word, right? So that draft sucked. We eliminate that because no matter what they did, they weren't getting talent because there was no talent to be had, right?
Okay.
Right?
I don't know.
Well, I'm using your barometer, which is whatever they tell us is true. Right?
Okay.
All right, move on.
He came out and said the draft sucks?
Basically.
You got more calls waiting, so why don't you take some of
them? And then after that, Pioli left. Right?
Okay. And?
I know you like to mock Pioli. I didn't have a ton of respect for Scott Pioli when he was here. I didn't think he did a lot. I thought he was a micromanager, a guy who just kept things in order so when draft came, Bill could make his picks.
Well, you hear some of these people and everything went to hell when Pioli left.
Yeah, I don't buy it. But some of the facts indicate some of the things went to hell.
So that means you have to give Belichick credit for some of those good drafts.
Right.
I give him all the credit for those drafts.
And I used to give Bill Polian credit for his good drafts.
In my opinion, Fred,
well.
In my opinion, from 2000 to 2006, Belichick gets 100% of the drafting credit. And you can't draft any better than they did in those years.
So then what happened to him?
I don't know.
He got old.
Things don't change.
See, this is the whole thing. You keep trying to make it out to be that we want to change. I don't want to change. I'm simply.
I do. I want them to stop missing on second round picks.
Again, but I think he would want the same thing.
But all I'm doing is trying to acknowledge the fact that they did it great for 6 years and they haven't done it as great for the last 6 years. I mean, but to me, it's 100% on Bill for the whole time.
Okay.
100%.
I'll buy that.
That's what I've always assumed, which means the bad is him.
Again, that's miles away from me wanting to get rid of him. As GM.
It's more than that away from me wanting to get rid of him.
So just because he's good, you ignore the bad.
But I don't want to get rid of him.
Just because the whole is good, you ignore the bad.
Right.
You don't look at the facts and say it's bad?
Because the whole is good, I realize that what he's doing with this team, every other team would love to do.
Yeah, I don't think that's true.
I don't know that that's true either.
All right. Dan,
I think what he has on this team in Tom Brady and his coaching ability is not able. You can't just do that. You can't just do that everywhere else.
Dan is on the line. Hey, Dan.
How's it going, guys?
Good.
I got to tell you, it's a great day for me. I mean, look at the situation. I mean, number one seed, chance at another title, 13-3, and the value GM conversation still comes back.
It's all about value.
You can eat your cake and bitch about it too. I love it.
That is a good point.
But I want to talk. I don't want to speak for a bunch of dedicated Patriots fans. But it looks like that's what I'm going to do anyway. I think a general consensus might be we don't think that Belichick is incapable of handling the GM responsibilities in addition to being the coach. It's that we think
I mean, if last 2 years is any example, it's that he's too good of a coach to let bad GM decisions sabotage his season. And I think you guys brought it up, the Jets situation. Imagine what Belichick could do in that kind of situation where they've got the talent, but they're lacking the structure.
Well, the problem is, would Bill Belichick have drafted Mark Sanchez?
No, but let's just look at the defense. Like, if you give him Darrell Reeves, you're big on this defense kind of fell apart as McCourty fell apart. That's a huge factor. And I agree with you.
Yeah.
So if you give Belichick Darrell Reeves,
oh, yeah,
the things he can do off of that,
Tom Brady.
Right. I think would be tremendous.
Oh, absolutely.
So, I mean, that's where you get into
the
coaching.
And it's been tremendous for the Jets up until
right.
this year.
Right.
You know?
Right. And there's a number of rosters, like you were talking about, in the playoffs right now that I think maybe even if you take Brady out of the equation, I think Belichick could take those teams far because I think they've got quality players at multiple positions, be it like on the line with the Giants or in the secondary. But maybe they just lack that coaching ability that can get them over the edge, you know, overcoming diversity. I mean, he's overcoming diversity with a bunch of rejected players and second round picks, overcoming 21-point deficits, but.
Why is he doing it, though? Why is he doing
it? That runs out. I don't know.
Because he has Tom Brady. That's the answer.
Well, see, I don't necessarily just say that.
I do.
Like, I think the San Diego Chargers would have gone significantly farther with Bill Belichick as their head coach.
Oh, I agree with that.
Just flat out.
I think they have a significantly more talented roster than the Patriots do.
Right, but so that's why it's not just about Tom Brady.
No, I'm saying with this team and being able to patch it together with all these guys.
You move Bill Belichick to the Giants, and he has that defensive front and Eli Manning. They're going to go farther.
My apologies then, because I thought he was asking why they were able to win with this.
If you go
he could do
to
it.
Houston, where he has, you know, this talent and what's his name? Williams, and he has, you know, a decent defense and a running back. He's going to go. It's like I said the other day when somebody asked about the backup quarterback. I think no matter what Bill does, if he coaches the Colts gunner, that gunner will be better than he is for the Colts right now.
Yeah, I agree 100% with that. So, I thought he was saying that. You look what he's done with these cast-offs and rejects, and he's been able to win and with this team. That's what I thought he said at the end there.
Well,
so
I give Bill credit, too. I mean, it's just Brady.
Oh, I give him a lot of credit. I think he's an outstanding coach. I don't think if you put another coach in here with Brady and all those cast-offs that you'd be 13-3. I think Bill's a big part of that. Minor news, I'll just report.
Okay.
They released Garrett Mills from the practice squad and signed a wide receiver named Britt Davis. And I'll give you some info on Davis if you're interested. First-year player from Northern Illinois. Originally entered the NFL as a rookie free agent with the Jets in 2009. Spent part of that year with their practice squad, 6'3", 205. Signed with Denver after being released by the Jets in 2010. And he was on the Broncos practice squad and signed to the 53-man roster late last year and played 3 games for the Broncos.
So do you think bringing
released by Denver at the end of training camp this year.
Do you think bringing him in is simply the looks that he can give them in practice?
I have no
idea. Looking at the possible playoff contenders and the looks that they're going to need in practice.
Maybe he runs like Wallace. Maybe he's like a
speed
burner.
I was going to say maybe they're envisioning seeing Pittsburgh and they want another fast guy.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Breaking news, Patriots preparing for Steelers.
Oh, my God, the phones aren't letting up. Brandon is in California. Hey, Brandon.
How's it going?
Good.
Well, I wanted to talk about the McCourty thing. I like him way better at safety than cornerback because when he's playing corner, he needs help. So if he's playing safety, he's going to be helping those guys.
Yeah, but he didn't need help last year, and you've seen him play safety for –
And did you see
70% of a single game?
Did you see him provide help on Sunday? Were there plays that you liked him at safety on Sunday? Because I got to be honest with you, the bomb, the beginning of the game, that guy, Antoine Molden pass interference, McCourty was supposed to be there to help. He was about 20 yards away.
So, I mean, this is his first game, so as he like progressed more throughout the season, but off season, you know, he's gonna get better at it.
Yeah, that's what we thought about corner, and he got worse.
Corner, like, I don't know, like, last year, like, I just think he was in the right spot at the right time getting those interceptions.
Oh, there's been a lot of this going around this week.
It was not luck. The guy was supposed to be a top 25 pick. He was taken there, and then he was a very good first-round cornerback as a rookie. Why did he suddenly lose the ability to play corner overnight?
There's been a lot of this going around this week. We have to reevaluate what we thought about him from last year. He was lucky.
I think we're doing way more zone coverage than man this, like, last year.
He has sucked in zone and man this year. Sucked in
Whoa,
both.
But
I'm not yelling at you, by the way. I'm yelling more at the issue here.
All right, but Brandon.
Yeah. All right, then.
Thank you for
Sorry,
calling.
I didn't mean to yell.
Hey, if you're a Rob Gronkowski fan, and I know Andy is.
Yes.
As opposed to Dan?
Starting
BB
Friday.
BB Jones is as well.
Starting Friday, you can win a Rob Gronkowski signed jersey. All you have to do is like the New England Patriots on Facebook.
I don't do Facebook.
And then click the sweepstakes tab on the left and enter to win. Again, that begins on Friday, this Friday, January 6th, and ends on Saturday, the 14th. So anyone that clicks the like from Friday to Saturday, the 14th, can be entered automatically to win a signed Rob Gronkowski jersey. And we'll remind people of that tomorrow as well.
Okay. And next week even.
Okay.
What do you got, Eric?
Eric's Andy, back. I may have told somebody out there that you have a bone to pick with them later on. So somebody might be a little frightened right now, shaking in their boots.
I'm in his head, by the way. I don't know if you've noticed, but he's starting referencing me at the end of tweets a lot lately. I'm in his head.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
He had one where he tweeted about, I still think Julian Edelman, if you look at his tackling, is better suited and will be have a future as a defensive back. In parentheses, he writes,
at
ducks
Jumbo Hart.
From Jumbo Hart or something. I'm in his head. That's where I like to be.
He claims he gave you credit on the radio. And I said, really?
Oh,
you
I
sure?
didn't hear.
Not when I was listening.
And he was like, oh, well, and he sort of backtracked. So you might have.
He just lies to your face now?
He said
it's
it
one
was,
thing to lie on Twitter and be disingenuous.
He
now
said it
just
was,
lying to your face.
It was brought to my attention yesterday.
By me on Twitter.
Didn't say that part.
So.
I might have to fight him. I didn't actually, wasn't as angry that he didn't do it, but now to say he did when he didn't. Now you're just flat out lying.
So Eric's like your messenger. He goes.
Yes.
Now, Brandon, before Andy wasn't
Draft.
Yelling at
he's
you,
my bitch.
Right? Before Brandon, Andy wasn't yelling at you. He was yelling at the issue. Right now, he is yelling at Ian Rappaport.
Yes, I am the crap sheet, crap head.
Okay, on to practice.
Yes,
Brady, Mankins, Welker, Vollmer, Cannon, not there.
Okay, that's fine.
But. I'm not surprised at all either. No. It's a bye week.
Just out of curiosity, what would have made you say, "Oh my God"?
Well, Cannon surprises me.
Yeah, I mean, because that's I'm well,
getting a veteran day
I was
off.
I was thinking the same thing. Like, is it?
But
he
did have a doctor's appointment.
He did. Well, he did miss a practice.
He did. That's why I'm concerned
for non-injury reasons.
Yeah.
So,
but that's why I'm concerned. I mean, given his specific history.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right.
I mean, I don't know. Hopefully, he won't even step on the field.
Right.
Come a week from Saturday.
Right.
But who knows? Mm. You might need them.
Right. Right. So they're on the game field.
Did you see the new guy, Ken Britt? No.
Yes,
Kenny
Britt Davis.
Kenny Britt would be good,
Britt
right?
Davis. Same spelling, though. Britt.
Kenny Britt would be an excellent pickup.
Wesley Britt.
At this stage of the season.
We had Nick Mangold and Anquan Boldin and Kenny Britt. We'd be awesome.
He's been assigned jersey number
45.
17. Oh, while Price is scoring in Jacksonville, we're giving this Jag his jersey.
They give away Jimmy Sanders' jersey. Now they give away Taylor Price's. All your boys, they're giving their numbers away.
I'm okay with the it's James Sanders one. I like a good
You like
fullback.
Polite?
Good, big, thick-necked fullback. Nice man.
Huge trapezoids.
Yeah.
Mayo's got those.
The one Mayo's, thing he, Mayo's enormous.
That is the one thing he is elite at.
Notable, I suppose, was the...
was Bill O'Brien there?
Of Bill O'Brien.
Yes.
We were looking for him, and it took us a while to find him. He was actually all very covered up because it's about 3 degrees out there today. But
You're exaggerating. It's like 12.
Yeah, okay.
Well, it was 9 this morning, so it's probably in the 20s.
Yeah, it's pretty cold out
definitely
there.
Definitely
coldest day we've had
my house.
For a while.
So is this mild or not?
It's not.
It's not mild.
Andy.
It's cold.
Depends where you
no,
are.
No, it's not. It's fine. It's cold. Let's just keep it at that.
Mild is all relevant.
We don't need to
if you're in the Antarctica, it's mild, maybe.
I mean, relative, not relevant.
The Antarctica.
Brooklyn, stop typing.
If you're in the Antarctica.
practice players, you want to guess them?
Yeah. Yeah, not Garrett Mills.
Nope. Because he was cut to get make way for
We've
the new
17. We've been predicting that, by the way. He always wears jeans, and we thought he was ready for a quick getaway to run out and not have his skivvies on.
He seemed to me like a guy who was cashing the checks every week this year.
More power to him.
Oh. Backup center.
Nick McDonald. That's one.
Booyah! He's practicing bad snaps like the opposition
Four
does,
more to
baby.
Go.
All right.
I don't have any
just
more go.
Okay. This is
I just can't believe I hit the first one.
High top fade, Markell Carter, Antoine Molden, Mike Rivera.
Okay, good.
I like Mike Rivera.
Let's like go Gary back Andrews. To the phones. James in Georgia. Hey, James.
What's up, guys?
How you doing?
Hey, Jimmy.
Doing is this good. James Sanders?
James in Georgia.
James in Georgia?
Yeah, good old Rome, Georgia, about 80 miles northwest of Atlanta.
Oh, okay.
It's a long commute.
And he is the only James in the state of Georgia, right?
Rome,
now.
Athens, what's it with the ancient cities there?
Could
in
be
Georgia.
James and the Giant Peach.
Well, we actually
it's the Peach State.
Seven hills surrounded Rome, three rivers, so, you know.
Oh, excellent.
So, what do you got today?
Well, this is like the first time in 10 years I'm not really optimistic going in the playoffs. Last year, we went 14-2. It surprised me. You know, we got beat by the Jets, let down going into the season. You know, I'm still kind of, our defense is just horrible.
Okay, let me give you the question that I gave Chris with the TIAN earlier. Give me your percentage of how confident you are that this team will win no matter who the opponent is on the 14th. Assign a percentage. Christian gave us 90% confident.
We will win, like, to me, it's Super Bowl or bust. So, 70% chance we'll win the first game.
70%. Okay.
People are pretty confident.
That's pretty 90 confident.
And 70.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's going to be the Bengals. So, and God help us if we lose to Andy Dalton. Like, anyways.
Red rifle.
But yeah, I've been listening to you guys for a year. Andy, you're the man.
Thank you.
We need a pass rusher. Y'all pretty much opens, like, I've been hard on Belichick this season, and even in the off season through the draft. I think it was the caller before last, he made a good point that he's such a good coach that he sucks as a GM, or at least the past 5 years. He's basically...
We're waiting.
Sorry, guys, I had an incoming call. Basically, he's in the past, he's hit in the first 5 years. In the past 5 years, he hasn't. The second-round picks are getting ridiculous. We need a pass rusher. I feel like we need a legit number one receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Randy Moss, prototype.
That'd be great.
You know, but I would take the pass rusher over anything.
Okay.
Just an elite pass rusher over anything. But my feeling is I think the Ravens are going to destroy us in the AFC Championship game. I hope I'm wrong, God. You know, if Belichick and the Patriots are able to go to the Super Bowl and somehow pull up a miracle, because I think that's what it's going to be. Our defense is terrible. I would love to get the fourth ring, but
that all said, you're 70% confident they'll win the first game.
The first one, yeah. I mean, it's Andy Dalton of the Bengals, like
maybe.
Come on.
Okay.
Maybe. All right. Thanks, James. James from Georgia. Let's go.
He's a peach.
To the other side of the country, to Las Vegas, where Jeff is standing by. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Swimmingly.
Yeah, swimmingly, definitely. A lot of high achievers like Belichick are very hard on themselves when they, don't succeed. And as self-aware as he is, don't you think he acknowledges all his personal mistakes?
Of course he does.
And would be completely open to bringing someone else in to sort of, self-analyze and critique him?
Depends what he's grading on.
He's delusional.
No, but if he's grading on wins, it's not delusional. He's the number one seed the last 2 years. That's not delusional in any way. He's won 27 football games.
Yeah, and I don't think that he would be willing to do that, because I don't think he thinks anybody can do the job better than
right.
he can.
And he might be right.
I think he is right in terms of putting together a program.
Well, that's why I said Eric DaCosta earlier, because Ozzie Newsome's a pretty good drafter, but Ozzie Newsome's, all his principles come from Bill Belichick. He's talked about that a lot over the years. He learned it in Cleveland and picked up a lot of the scouting principles that Bill uses, and maybe it's just a new eye, a new voice, that's in the similar system. You know what I mean? Like, it wouldn't be that huge transition. I'm guessing the scouting department, the write-ups, everything might be similar. So maybe it's just a new voice. And maybe I like Nick Caserio, but maybe Nick Caserio is not the right guy to be the right-hand man, the voice.
But unlike Fred Kirsch, though, I'm sure Belichick can separate personnel misses with the overall win-loss record.
Maybe.
Well, you don't think that Bill Belichick thinks that Terrence Wheatley was a miss?
No, I think he does.
Exactly,
of course he does. Why are you yelling at me?
He's yelling at the situation,
Andy. What is your premise here, Jeff?
Jersey Shore?
Yeah. That he doesn't admit mistakes? That he refuses to admit mistakes?
Well,
the fact that they get rid of these guys is an admittance that they made a mistake.
And 3 years later, he'll publicly admit to it, like he told us the tight end sucked this week.
Whatever. Right, so, what, you know.
So
So why are Paul and Andy saying that he can't separate, that he thinks because he's 13-3
I never said anything about what Belichick thinks.
I didn't say that. I'm just saying, what is he using as his grading? Because if he's just going by wins and losses, he's won a lot of football games.
I think when you talk draft, you talk about how this guy, particular guy, did.
But how does he... No, but I don't think he can just do that either. You need to look at the talent around it and the guys you picked.
I know, but if the guy, if you pick a second rounder and he's not on the team 3 years later, then it wasn't a good pick.
But not necessarily.
Yeah, but I'm not telling you what Belichick thinks.
If you picked three guys who are Pro Bowlers, that's not a good draft.
When you cut a guy, that means...
No, but Fred, everybody cuts guys. No one picks all seven guys become starters and Pro Bowlers.
There are some teams that hold on to draft picks a little longer than others.
But not because they're good.
Like the Patriots did with Merriweather.
No.
Yes.
Right.
But my point is, you don't think Bill might think that last year's draft was about as good as you can get when you picked three Pro Bowlers in McCourty, Hernandez, and Gronkowski?
They're probably happy with that draft.
Right, but he picked bad players in that draft, too. But, he cut Taylor Price.
But if you've been in the business long enough, you know that every draft has hits and misses.
That's my point. He might think he has had very good drafts. Well, you're missing. Well, you think just because he cut Tyrone Wheatley that he admitted that was a terrible draft.
Poor Terrence.
It was a bad pick.
Right. But he looks at the draft as a whole, is my guess, because he knows every single draft is going to have a total swing and miss, maybe a home run, a couple doubles, and a bunt.
Okay.
He knows that everyone is going to fall somewhere in there.
Well, yeah, but I mean.
And in my opinion, if you get three Pro Bowlers, that's home run.
Okay.
Regardless of what you did in the other ones.
All right.
Right? Now, there's a question as to one of the Pro Bowlers is Devin McCourty, so I don't know where he falls. But I'm being serious here. If you get three Pro Bowlers, I don't know how you cannot say that's a good draft.
Okay.
So I don't know exactly what he would judge doing his job successfully. It may be wins. It may be the overall draft. It may be the best player in the draft. It may be the depth of. I don't know what he would judge as a good and bad draft.
I'm assuming go ahead, Jeff.
I'm sure, and Fred, I agree with Fred with this. Belichick is admitting he cuts ties with players a lot faster than a lot of other teams do. So he's admitting he's wrong. So he knows on some level that he has been horrible with this recent slew of cuts on the second round, and I'm sure he wants to improve that.
Right, but I don't think he thinks he's done a horrible job as a GM.
I don't think he has either.
Okay. Aren't we talking about him being a reasonable man, knowing he stinks and needs more help? Wasn't that the premise of this idea?
Yeah, but.
He knows in that department that he stinks and needs help.
But he only stunk on some of them. He was great on Gronkowski. That's my point. I don't know how he
I think he says the same thing to himself that he says to his team. Yeah. We can always do better.
I don't know what he says, but I don't think he thinks he needs help. Let's put it that way.
I disagree.
You're asking me what I think he thinks? I don't think he thinks anybody could do better.
And I'm not saying it's out. I'm not saying it's ridiculous for him to think that.
I don't think there's anybody who could put a program together better than he could. It's not outrageous to say that.
He sucks on certain picks. He's hit home runs on others, and he's been in the middle on some others.
Right. So that's why I don't understand why people want to fire Bill the GM.
My issue is,
telling you, there aren't a lot of those.
My God.
But there aren't.
There's a couple of random fans that want him out, Fred. Who
cares? I gotta tell you, Anthony has to be either not listening or he's on the line.
I'll give you an example.
Because we've been ripping it. Reed's a random moron fan.
I'll give you an example. I got a tweet today from someone in Houston. I think it might have been John McClain.
Sam?
Someone who does a radio show in Houston saying, the Texans are going into their week with the first playoff game. The first three callers all wanted Gary Kubiak out.
Oh, my God.
That's great. Okay.
I mean, Anthony is a terrific barometer for a Yahoo fan. That is unquestionable.
Right.
I mean, do you think that is the overall tenor in Houston, or do you think there's random people calling up? We got to get rid of this guy.
I hear a lot of the talking heads on radio saying this.
Who are the talking heads?
That he needs to go as a
GM.
GM.
Yes.
Who?
Both stations.
See, to me, you can't separate the two.
Well, look, they're not experts, as Paul said before.
No, if they're on the radio, that's different. It's a media guy.
No, Larry Johnson's not an expert.
Sorry.
Right?
And Lou Merlone is not an expert.
Right,
but
exactly.
I'm not necessarily saying expert. I'm saying a guy that's, he's working in the business. He's monitoring this stuff and whatnot.
Oh, you're right. When it comes to guys like Lombardi.
What about? No,
you know,
they
don't forget that. Lombardi.
I know.
He could go 0 for 27 and Lombardi would say he's still doing a great job.
Guys that have really been in the business.
But you say you hear it on the radio. What about Hawley and Ordway? I consider them experts. They do Patriots Monday. They spend a lot of time with Belichick.
Well,
they should know
what Ordway will do, though, when Bill's not on the show. People will call up and they'll bring this up, and he won't necessarily disagree with them.
Andy, the deep ball down the sideline or Hernandez, throw away. You are correct.
Remember when we had that talk?
I didn't think there was any discussion or doubt about it.
We were saying overthrow or throwaway.
All right, Jeff, thanks for the call. I only said throwaway.
No, I know that you'd never think anybody else's opinion is of any value whatsoever.
I'm like Bill Belichick.
I was backing up your opinion.
Bill and
Sorry,
I have a lot. Bill and
last
I have a lot
do
in common. Look, I don't need anybody to tell me I'm
Paul.
Right.
Paul, you should talk. I like when I'm having an argument with Andy or with Eric. Or Paul will go, Andy, I agree with that part, but I agree with the other thing. And like, you know, he tells you what part of it
the
that he agrees with.
The stamp of approval from Paul Perillo.
That's what you guys make fun of me for all the time. What are you talking? That's my shtick.
Right.
Are you ever going to take a break?
No, I guess not.
We only have 10 minutes
left. Well, he
anyway.
Tried. I mean,
really?
In his defense, he tried like three times, and every time Kevin was either getting the food or he was somewhere.
Jose, and then he goes, these people just keep calling.
Jose, we've had like four guys on the phone the whole
time. And this makes up for yesterday not being on the air. Jose in Maryland on the phone right now. Hey, Jose.
Lucky Maryland.
Hey, what's up, guys? Fred, if I can quickly get three things stamped. First, I wanted to let you guys know I kind of enjoyed seeing Antoine Molden out there, you know, keeping up with the receivers, you know, even with the interference call. You know, that way Devin McCourty can set the quarterback all he wants. But also, man, I think, I don't care who we play in the playoffs, divisional, in the conference, championship, but Brady is just going to, like, torch any team. Because, man, I think he's, like, sickened by the past playoff appearances, you know. And I'm talking way back even in 06.
All right, so give us a percentage, what you think your percentage of wins is.
Playing the role of the real radio guy.
Eric has a shtick today.
No, I want to see how confident people are.
It's a dumb question. Because it changes depending on the opponent.
Okay, no, it doesn't.
But, unfair question.
No, it does. It does for me. Because I say 100% over Cincinnati. And,
right.
You know, what, 50-50 on Pittsburgh?
100? Right.
So give me an average.
So what does that mean, though?
How confident you are that they're going to win? Let the man speak for himself.
About high confidence. I'm talking about no interceptions, you know, last year with that fluke, you know, with that screen pass. I'm talking about perfect rating, man. I'm a little nuts, but.
So you're looking at you sound like 100%.
So you're looking for Brady to establish himself as arguably the greatest quarterback in NFL history, roll
I'm
through
telling.
A postseason, no punts, perfect rating, all that crap.
Yes, he's going to make it up for Kraft, man, I'm telling you. And, you know, he's really close. They're really close. And it's going to happen. Like, my goodness, the defense, yeah, but I love how Belichick, you know, he –
All right, so you have no concern over the fact that they've had slow starts for
100%.
The past month and a half or so on offense?
They'll get over it. I don't know if it's going to happen in the divisional or the conference, but
they might not get to the conference if they don't get over it in the divisional.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, but maybe I'm just too, you know, I'm blinded. But I think it's going to get done. I think he's going to put his team on his back. It's going to, you know, it's over and done with. Super Bowl win for us. But the third topic. I've been listening to the show for since the beginning of the season, and since yesterday, I really realized how much I appreciate the show. How exactly can I show my appreciation to you guys? Is it
lunch.
You know, with the meal?
No.
Is it subscribing?
Do you have an iPad?
That's the thing. I don't. I only have an iPhone, and I only listen to the show. You know, I listen to the show live.
Well, you can subscribe to the paper at 1-800-494-PATS. That's the best way to do it.
Well, you could offer, you know, an endowment of some sort that
we can
split up as.
You can pay for my kids' college tuition. No.
1-800-494-PATS.
Yes, subscribe to the paper.
Honestly, Jose, you're doing everything you have.
Everything you need to do, Jose, you're doing it.
Just listen. That's all we ask.
How does the lunch work, though, man?
Nah, you don't need to buy lunch.
You don't need to buy lunch.
On the line.
No. Listen, just keep
so fast.
Just
keep
listening
and keep calling and emailing.
What do you do for work, Jose?
Oh, me? I'm a Comcast technician.
Okay, you make good money, right?
Yeah, dude, yeah.
Okay.
Take care of myself.
Hang on the line and
Kevin will
the
take
monkey
care
behind
of
the glass will tell you how to buy
you
lunch.
You can take care of my cable for
me. You can keep me from paying $200 a month for cable.
Right.
Can you do that for Maryland? Can you get into the system of some sort?
No.
All right.
Fred's right. You're doing everything you need to
do. Yeah. Don't worry. Thank you for the support, Jose.
With everything you're doing, a subscription and lunch, we'll love you.
Thank you. Best caller of the day.
That was a good call.
And he
You're
reminded
right,
me that I do need to give that 1-800 number out more often.
We never do. Ever.
I know.
It's ridiculous.
1-800-494-PATS. Subscribe. You get access to PFW online.
That's because all
newspaper.
200,000 or 300,000 people that listen to
us
already.
If you have an iPad, you get the iPad app for free. If you don't have, or if you don't want to subscribe and you do have an iPad, you can also get our iPad app, which is great. We just launched a new Game Center section of the iPad app. So when you're watching the game, you got this window open that gives you live stats, live play-by-play, down and distance, all the stats, player, individual, team. And you get a you can do the curse words, or you can chat in Twitter or Facebook while the game's going on, all on the same screen. So
nice.
It's pretty cool.
Didn't he look a little like Berman when he was doing that one?
He
was actually talking. No, I'm like, it would have been, you know, and you have the
but he's doing that more
and then
more.
You have the window and you get
the gravel.
You know, the mobile and
lava.
And,
by the way, other thing I should also promote is on our show tomorrow, PFW TV. Yes. Which is on the CSN NNE, and then on Friday on Pages.com, I had an exclusive sit-down with Jonathan Kraft.
Yes.
So you can see that.
Well, the best part of it is you're going to see 7 minutes of that interview on our TV show, 7:30, CSN NNE.
Right.
But then on Friday, I believe we will also get the unedited 25
minutes of me and Jonathan Kraft.
Which I hear was very, very good. I actually heard you didn't.
I heard you brought
up
the emotion, Fred. That's what I heard.
I'm hearing
they laughed.
I did
start to cry at one point.
They cried.
And I know that it was about feelings, and people were comparing you to Barbara Walters.
Barbara Walters. They even put the soft lens on me so you can see the
Barbara
wrinkles.
Wawa.
Yeah.
She has fat shoulders.
Sarcastic Aaron says, Fred, you're a complete idiot. Of course we need to be drafting in the late first round instead of the second. Can you imagine what Bill could do with a player like Brandon Merriweather and Lawrence Maroney instead of Jags like Pat Chung and Shane Vereen? And think about how much better Nate Solder is over Sebastian Vollmer. Bill got lucky with Gronk, and the jury is still out on Razai, but he needs to take these picks in the first round. I would much rather him take one coin flip player in the late first round than take two coin flip players in the second.
Why are they coin flips?
Wait, I guess having two shots at getting a decent player might be cool, but forget all that. I just want him to take a player in the first round so I can have something to watch on each day of the draft.
Hey, Dumas.
Thank you, Aaron.
Hey, Dumas.
You don't agree with him, so he's an idiot.
It's a fact.
That's a fact.
The higher players go, they're supposed to be better.
I just
whether Bill picks them or someone else.
Not
picks
so
them.
Much in the low.
I just
and
have.
By the way, what
has
Shane Vereen ever done?
I have one question. What have we seen that makes Shane Vereen better than Lawrence Maroney so far?
Nothing.
And what
he's
have we
worse.
Seen that says Patrick Chung is any good so far?
Jay's
competitive.
JC
when he's on the field.
I think he's better than Merriweather ever was.
I agree. When he's on the field,
right.
Merriweather played every game. Badly.
Right.
Badly, but he was on the field every game. He ain't helping you when he's missing 7 games a year.
JC writes in, I do think.
He ain't helping you.
I do think Bill is spread
that was a little,
too
that
thin.
That was a little Berman-like right there, I'll admit.
I do think Bill is spread too thin. He needs some help on the D, picks and the D. I think we should bring in Sperano. Miami should not have let him go. It was not his fault. He would follow team concept from Bill.
Wait,
yeah, but he's an offensive guy.
He's an offensive line coach,
right.
Isn't he?
Yes. I thought he did a good job all around on the D, and Parcells thought he was good. He can also but he's not
tight
a
ends
guy.
Coach for Parcells.
Mike Nolan is
O-line
the defensive coordinator in
that'd be an interesting
Miami.
One.
I take
Mike
him.
Nolan idolizes Bill Belichick.
Does he?
He likes him a lot, and that would be interesting because he might – and he runs a 3-4. He might kind of change his scheme to
that.
Bill's needs.
Well, there's a talk that you know the Miami is interviewing Jeff Fisher. So
if
Fisher comes
house.
In. You think he will? He wouldn't keep Nolan?
I don't. He might because Nolan's been around and with a lot of coaches.
Fisher might know Nolan.
Fisher,
I don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't
but
know
if he does it,
is.
He is a big name that I think you'd have a hint of a sniff of a chance.
Okay.
A hint of a sniff of a chance.
I don't think it's going to happen. So I just wanted to pose it that way.
All right.
Rook's got his hair all slicked back today. He hangs out with all these basketball coaches. He starts doing his hair like they do.
Norman in Illinois.
Timmy Welsh, do you have any strippers with you? Any prostitutes that can service me?
Norman in Illinois says that Troy Aikman.
It's not Larry Eustace.
Troy Aikman has joined the legions of Patriots haters. He says Troy Aikman was on.
I heard he killed
on the Molly and Hanley show, 670 The Score in Chicago yesterday morning, and he said the Patriots defense is the worst playoff team defense he has ever seen, and the Patriots are his surprise pick to make it to the Super Bowl.
Okay. Shows you how good he thinks. It shows you how good he thinks
he
Tom Brady is.
He doesn't even know how to hate right.
You need to tell Troy Aikman he can't think that. Because that's what Paul and I have said.
Fred and I already went at it this morning about
this.
You
need to tell Troy Aikman those two things can't be true.
I'll save it off the air because I don't want to embarrass Fred, but he said something that was a bit contradictory to his stance.
I don't know what you're
talking about. I don't know. I don't
John Rooks here. Hey, John.
Hey, John.
Hey, Fred.
What's going on?
You are. That's what's happening.
The gay crossover.
What did you think about the Jets implosion and the Polian firing?
Well, I was more surprised, I think, by the Polian firing than the Jets implosion.
Good call.
I don't know. I guess the Polian thing really did catch me by surprise, to be honest.
Not all the national media guys. Evidently, they've been sitting on this for weeks.
Well, you know what this is like, Paul?
Don't you really think that's a bunch of crap?
Wasn't it disgusting?
This is exactly what happened with the Red Sox. After that whole Red Sox thing, all these people, we kind of knew this was all going on. Why didn't you report
it? But it happened down the stretch. You could see it coming. There was nothing that you could see coming.
No.
And these guys all claimed that they knew it was coming.
Yeah. I don't think so. I don't think anybody knew it was coming. I mean, you know.
I agree,
John. They had a bad year. They had a bad year, and they didn't have Peyton
Manning. He didn't get fired because they had a bad year.
No.
And like Fred says, they had a philosophical
thing. There was another difference between him and Jim Irsay, and they just decided that, it was probably best to part company. They looked at this, I'm guessing, as an opportunity to clean house and to, straighten the ship up a little bit. I really think that's all it was. And it does surprise me because here's a guy, Polian, who, frankly, has been, six-time exec of the year?
Yeah.
So, I mean, in that regard, it surprised me. But as far as the Jets are concerned, more misery heaped upon them. I can't, that's great. I love it.
That's great.
Bring it on. Mm-hmm. I want to see Peyton Manning go to the Jets. That's what I'm rooting for.
Really?
Yeah, I want to see it.
That would be fun.
It would be hilarious. It would be fantastic.
Well, except if, he wins the division and the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Well,
that's the one downside.
But you know what?
I agree, it would be fun.
We have him twice a year again. We have him in New York. Think about it.
Still get there as a wild card. What are you worried
about? Twice or three times.
Get
to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, maybe.
If he beats you.
Don't you think it'd be a blast?
It'd be great for the rivalry.
It would be a blast for the rivalry.
Great theater.
That's what I'm rooting for.
Steve Buckley eats those columns up.
All right. Well, John Rook is up next with the Patriots playbook, and then Pete Shepard at 4 o'clock. We will be back tomorrow. We'll see you then.
Superhero, or even if I tumble fall.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.